this week. It's a potpourri of topics in gaming news, fighting games, imminent releases, loot boxes, acquisitions, cryptocurrency, and more. There's something for almost everyone in the lineup of tonight's news, so let's waste no more time and get right to the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 719 for this February the 18th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with my co-hosts, including Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Moaning and moaning.
What?
I'm so full.
Oh, I see. I was like, that's not usually a reference to full noises.
Pain.
How are you? Thanks for the movie date today. Well, that was fun.
Thank you as well.
Yeah.
Well,
you're welcome.
We saw Lady Bird today.
Yes, we finally saw the Lady Bird.
And I kind of want to see it again, but I might have... It wasn't quite ugly crying, but it couldn't stop.
Yeah, not that we're a movie podcast, but I really love that movie a lot. And,
yeah.
This show, as you probably know, is based in Sacramento, California. And so certainly there's a certain something. I mean, obviously, like, for example, there's a lot that resonated with you, even though you grew up in Mobile. You said you had a lot of similar, without kind of giving away the entire plot, you had a lot of similar feelings as the plot progressed.
Especially
right?
dealing with my mother.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, although I didn't have, you know, a stable male influence in my life like that. I didn't have a dad I could rely on like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had that kind of relationship with my mother. And of course she left and I stayed with grandma, but you know, just the whole, I need to get out of the place that you still know very well.
Right.
And then when you're gone from there, you have the shock, you know, and it's like, what do I do now?
There was definitely pieces of it. I mean, the fact that I have lived in Sacramento my whole life, there are still like pieces that really resonated with me. Like the whole, like the first time you're driving around in your town, you know, it feels so different, even though you've lived here your whole life. Like,
it was very big for me.
Yeah.
And then all the places were so different, you know, when I moved out here. But I kept going back to there were several scenes that show the Rose Garden downtown.
Oh, McKinley Park, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is that I used to work over on C Street at the Cannery Building.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I used to walk all the way around that park every day.
Yeah, it is kind of awesome that there's like legit like local landmarks. Like when they do again, I don't want to spoil something, but there's a very distinct thing that happens and she's with her friend at the Tower Bridge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know exactly how they shot that and where that is at because that's on a walking path that I've played Pokemon Go on several times. There's lots of Pokestops up there.
But it makes the whole place, you know, it kind of lets you see the town in a different, through a different lens.
Yeah. So anyway, not to be too movie chat, but maybe there'll be a Lady Bird game someday. Just kidding. I think that's one of those games where they can't really make a game out of it. But then again, they somehow made a game out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and they made a game out of The Room at some point. So anything's possible, I suppose.
Mm.
Anyway, say hello to somebody who one of these days will write a game. It's Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, good. Is your mic even on over there?
Yes.
You're just really quiet for some reason. Sorry, I'm not hearing you
I'm
back.
I'm not quiet.
All right.
I'm very loud. I can see myself on the waveform.
Yes, it is on. For some reason, I'm not hearing the same. Maybe I must have futzed with these speakers.
It's
and
just
studio.
You're getting older. You're going to need to turn
it
up
is.
A hearing aid.
Okay, here's the other problem. So it is February 18th, and you may or may not know, it is National Wine Day, everybody. And
well, that explains my children.
What the hell does that even... Oh, not that kind of wine, Loki. Not that kind of wine. No. You got me good, bitch. Well, the problem is where I'm going with this, and you can probably already figure it out. I've already had about a glass and a half of one of our favorite sweet wines here locally. It's National Wine Day. So
I can't really drink wine because I don't enjoy it because it makes me feel like I have a really bad... It goes to my face.
Like, that's what I'm feeling right now.
Like it feels like I have a really bad sunburn.
Yeah,
that's like that's not a pleasant.
I feel you, bro. That's what I'm feeling right now is that sunburn feeling. But here I am doing a 3-hour podcast about games. So woo, good times. But yeah, so it's wine day. But of course, everybody, if you do drink responsibly. Tomorrow is a 3-day weekend, or tomorrow is a holiday. It's President's Day, so it's a 3-day weekend for me. So that's why it really works out to have wine day be today, so I can actually indulge in a little bit of wine. So There you go. So I don't know. Is anyone drinking along in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com? Because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after. Excuse me. Hiccups plus wine equals bad. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, I guess. We're just going to jump right into it and talk a little bit about Kickstarter's gone really, really wrong. Loki, would you lead us a little bit on our kickoff topic tonight?
So, I don't know if this is really wrong, but they basically the System Shock remake that was kickstarted a couple years ago for $1.3 million is on hiatus. Thanks to, I guess they had problems with development. And, you know, so the company Night Drive Studios, they're an indie game developer. And they were, you know, of course, going to basically remake that whole thing. That was kind of back when all of the games, you know, a lot of the games coming out were remakes. You know, like you'd have the BioShock remakes and that kind of stuff. So, now, of course, they said, you know, as our concept grew and our team changed, so the scope of what we were doing and with the budget for the game, as the budget grew, we began a long series of conversations with potential publishing partners. The more that we worked on the game, the more we wanted to do, and the further we got from the original concept that made System Shock so great. So, I guess right now they're just taking time to work on it longer, or they reassess what they need to do to bring the project back to the original scope.
And here's why I shade all the Kickstarter stuff. And, like, look, I understand the whole, like, if you have to delay a game to make it the game that you need to make, then fine. Like, but it's a tricky balance with Kickstarter, because in Kickstarter, you're asking for people's money up front, and usually, you know, almost always, it's the full cost of the game, maybe with a small discount because you're showing your faith in the game early on. And yet, this is just another in a long line of games that has either been delayed or in some cases disappeared. And you, I mean, there's a part of me that hears, oh, such and such game has gone on hiatus. And I kind of go, well, you know, well, some bands go on hiatus. The Spice Girls are on hiatus.
You have to recognize, though, that Kickstarter is not a pre-order. It's just you're investing money in a company for a product, and that may not work out. And so, you know, we've already told people enough, stop pre-ordering games. So, you know, this is even worse. You're pre-ordering a game before it's even made, like 2 years before it's even made. So, I don't know.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, where I was going to go with the System Shock story is that it was put on Kickstarter as a remake, but now it's just a different game in the same universe. Everyone on Kickstarter backed a remaster. That's another good point, is that things have kind of changed from what it was originally supposed to be. MXC says, I'm very nervous about Night Drive Studios. They mostly get the licenses of old PC games and then remake them so they run on Windows 10. But do they have the skill to fully remake a game, even with the money? I can see why they're having trouble. And JD points out the Spice Girls are coming back. Technically, nothing official has been confirmed. This is all through TMZ. So there's still that part of me that says, until I hold those concert tickets in my hand, I don't believe anything. And don't believe those dates that are on Facebook either. Read the descriptions of that stuff and look who's actually inviting you to that stuff. Because all that shit that's like Spice Girls tour in this city, that's some freaking lame-o concert promoter locally trying to farm the likes to then push out a bunch of crap to you. Just basically get your name on a mailing list, essentially, is what that is. Another reason why Facebook sucks, but I won't get into that right now. But how are you feeling overall, Loki, about Kickstarter at this point? Do you still back projects on Kickstarter?
Not really.
It's been a while for me. It's been a very long time.
I know one project I backed, We Happy Few, spams the fuck out of their updates. Like, I get so many stupid updates from them. I'm sure there's a way to turn that off, but it's fucking annoying. Don't get me wrong, like, I like backing stuff, but dude, I don't need a million fucking updates about that.
I think the last one I backed was one of the guys we had on the show. We had the guy who made Tangle Deep that was on the show. But what I liked about the way he was doing it is that that game was pretty much already done and was going to be done, is that he was looking for this money to, like, put the extra coat of paint on it. You remember that? Like, it was, like, bringing in guest composers, help with some of the publishing and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, that's the way to do it, because he already essentially had a game done. He was just looking for the money to kind of elevate it into this is, you know, the commercial release or whatever you want to call it that I want it to be. I kind of liked that. It wasn't something that had to be built from the ground up, because even, hell, even like Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, I mean, that game is still not out. And how long ago was that Kickstarter? Now, yeah, again, take the time to get it right, I suppose. But there's still that part that's like, dang, I gave them money like 4 years ago when this game was supposed to be on like the Nintendo Wii. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's a lot of games, though. The problem is, though, is like we always focus on the games that are, you know, that this stuff is happening in. We forget half the stuff that goes through it, and it's just fine.
True.
Like, I think Stardew Valley was a Kickstarter game, wasn't it?
Was it?
I don't remember. Hmm. But, you know, there's been games like that that have gone through the process with Kickstarter and stuff and have come out just fine. So it's... it's just that we always focus on the ones that do bad, because that's all what you ever remember.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I back Patreons more than Kickstarters nowadays. Have I ever talked in depth about why I really don't care for Patreon? And maybe I'm only willing to do it tonight because I've had a little bit to drink. But here's my problem with Patreon, like full stop. Patreon feels very pyramid schemey to me, because Patreon shows what you're contributing to other people as well as what they're contributing to you. So I kind of feel like, okay, if I go on to Patreon and let's say, you know, and I've had plenty of other podcasters say, why don't you have OLR on Patreon? Why don't you do this on Patreon? Because, okay, cool, then, you know, we would be getting money on Patreon. But I would also kind of feel this sense, because I want to promote other podcasts, I would feel like in turn, shouldn't OLR be showing the support by backing other people's Patreons? And then what happens? You give us a dollar. Now we give you a dollar. So it's net even, except for the fact that Patreon has taken a percentage cut of both sides. So, like, that's the part. And I know not everybody's going to understand that and think I'm being weird. But, like, that's the part that never really sat well with me, is that I feel like Patreon is this never-ending, I give you a dollar, you give me a dollar, and Patreon still gets, you know, a percentage of the cut off the top the whole way. And that's not even getting into the other part of it, which I know I've talked about before, which, you know, is all still very relevant about the whole, you know, I like to do OLR because it's fun, I get to see you all, and once I feel a little more like, I feel like if you're giving us money and then we have to go and, let's say, cancel a show. And last year we had to cancel a lot of shows, you know, because there was just a lot going on. Even though I know 99.9% of the listeners were more than understanding in those scenarios, and I thank you for that, I would still feel that kind of sense of, you paid us for something we didn't deliver on. Now I've become one of these Kickstarters that isn't
delivering. Now you're part of the whole network.
Yes,
of-
now I'm part of that whole problem. And whether it's true or not, I'm just telling you that's where my brain goes. Whether I'm being rational or not. That's what happens with my brain. So that's kind of a big reason why I've never gone to Patreon. And I have nothing against other shows that go to Patreon to do this stuff. That is something you have to figure out for yourself and you have to do for your show. And that's totally cool. And I am definitely a supporter of independent podcasting, you know, whether that's through finance, whether that's through word of mouth, whatever.
Well, I think a lot of the shows I've seen that use Patreon, they kind of put it this way. It's like, you know, we're doing this show. You know, if you want to back us, that's cool. But if, you know, like if you can't find, if this is going to be like a financial burden for you, please don't, you know, or just only if you want to type of thing. And so kind of making it, you know, listen, this show's going to be what it is, whether you back it or not, type of thing.
Getting to some comments in chat at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt says, I stopped backing gaming Kickstarters. Too much nonsense happens in development where I will just purchase the game when it comes out. Yeah, I'm not helping the cause, but there have been many gaming Kickstarters that have gone wrong during development. Dungeon Buster says, Pillars of Eternity, both Divinity Original Sin games, Wastelands 2, the Shadowrun series. There's a lot of success stories, but it only takes a few to sour people on the process. And some people are also bringing up other games. Shovel Knight was another success and so forth. Also, Bobby Blackwolf points out Mutant Football League, which I know he's been streaming more and more of lately. Cheap plug for Bobby Blackwolf. Was a failed Kickstarter, but what came out of it was a much better game, in my opinion. That could be. I can't really say yes or no because I haven't played the game myself, but it looked interesting. JD in chat says, I can't find the Kickstarter for Stardew Valley. I think it might not have been one. Okay. And Akuma JP says, Sky will not do well in business. He is too nice. I can be a dick when I need to be, but it's a fair criticism. But I don't want OLR necessarily to pay the bills. It's just... you know, I have a day job that's cool.
I want it to pay my meth habit. Oh, wait, I don't have a meth habit. So I guess I don't need it.
I need it to pay for my cookie habit.
But I could develop a meth habit, and then I wouldn't have to worry about the, you know, cost of that.
Sorry,
I also wouldn't have to worry about having a job.
I'm just thinking about this animated short that plays before Rocky Horror every time, where like the little it's like the little dancing popcorn and that stuff, but it's a death metal band with like the pretzel and stuff, and they go, "Don't stop, watch," and then they go, "We have all your fucking money, and we're gonna spend it on drugs." It's pretty awesome, but that just what you said kind of reminded me of that.
No, so. I'm going to start streaming more, you know, just basically the whole thing is going to be going back into, you know, whatever I happen to make on it will be going back into doing stuff for Vogue.
I was going to say, ironically, there was a game today that I saw that I was like, ooh, I want to back that.
What's that?
It was What the Golf. And it
this already sounds like a Loki game.
It's basically, yeah, it's kind of... You know, it's like, this is what, you know, it's time the car should have been. But it's basically this golf game by people that hate golf. And it's just the most ridiculous, like, thing. It's basically the whole thing is, like, kind of the golf controls where you, like, you know, point in a direction and you pull back and click and stuff like that. And you try to get to the hole. But they're not really counting strokes. It's more of, like, trying to avoid obstacles and stuff. And it's really silly. But, yeah, look up What the Golf, everybody. It's awesome.
Okay.
I will get right on that. I was going to
say,
I'm
right on top of that, Rose.
I was going to say, though, before somebody points it out and accuses me of being a total hypocrite, which may or may not be true, I do stream on Twitch occasionally. I haven't been doing it as much as I'd like, but I'm very proud of the fact that I'm juggling 3 podcasts a week right now. So, you know, a pro over here, a con over here. But when I do stream on Twitch, I do take the tips and I take the subscription, and I'm totally fine with that. But I also feel like a tip in that sense is a tip. Like, it's a one-time, like, thanks, hi, how you doing, here's some money to support it. And I'm literally offering you nothing for that. Now, believe me, I appreciate it deeply. And, you know, it does, you know, we do pay money to, you know, have the capture card and have, you know, the cable running. But even deeper than that, for stuff like OLR, you know, obviously we need to buy new microphones probably. We're getting to that point where, yeah, you know, these lovely microphones that Brad used to use for Pod Culture, some of them are seeing their last day because, you know, they get through a lot of use around here. So we could probably stand to have some more microphones. We do pay, you know, a pretty good chunk of change, about a video game's worth of money a month to keep the stream up and running. And that's just what I'm paying. Bobby's paying for the website. So, you know, there's, you know, your money does get used for good stuff. But I'm okay with that because, in a sense, you're giving me money for nothing on paper.
And the rent's for free.
But your money is being, you know, turned around and
brain went to dire straits. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I understand. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, Steam Greenlight. According to the wiki, Stardew Valley went to Steam Greenlight and then went into early access for funding. I thought it was kickstarted at 1.2, though.
It's still a great game.
Act Deft in chat says, it's not my money. It's Amazon or Twitch's Prime. Well, but that's still, in a way, it is still your money because you're paying for Prime. But I get it. I mean, it's like you get all this stuff with Prime. So, and you really should. Like, if you guys do have Amazon Prime, you should be giving that free Prime a month to somebody. Like, obviously, I'd love it if it were me. But if it's not, like, give it to, like, I know Flacco does streaming. Bobby's trying to get affiliate status. Jamie did get affiliate status. Like, give your, and even if it's not one of us, just a streamer that you like that's working hard, please remember to use your sub. Because they don't do a good job about reminding you, like, oh, you have a sub to give away. It's been 30 days. You have a new sub. So, you know, trust me, the people really, really appreciate it when you do use your sub. If you're using Prime anyway for the shipping stuff or the TV service or whatever, like, just don't forget to give those away.
If I end up getting that Visual Novel Maker, I might stream using the Visual Novel Maker.
Why not? Why not stream making a game?
That's what I'm kind of thinking about doing, except I still need to get the rest of my story. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually planning on streaming doing my webcomic when I do the existential crisis in Animal Crossing.
One more comment on the Twitch stuff. SGO and Hunter Matt says, you may not accept our money, but you accept our love, appreciation, and occasional meals or drinks when we see you in person. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love all that stuff, especially drinks in moderation, as I'm doing tonight here on OLR. Jamie, I didn't really pick your brain on the Kickstarter stuff, but have you backed anything in a while? And if so, why or why not?
The last thing I backed was my Hot to Full Boyfriend plushes. And I got them. And they're great. And that's it. Dan backed Bloodstained.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he regrets it. We both kind of agree that... Actually, I think I did put that as well so I could get a copy too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we both agreed that it would... You know, would rather wait for a good finished game.
Sure.
So...
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't mind. That money's already gone. What's it going to do with now, right?
Well, but at least we still have a game coming. But, you know, if you donated to this, A, you're not even going to get the game you thought you were getting. B... Now it's on hiatus. I mean, we're just hoping at this point it's still going to happen. You know, and I'm not trying to be overly negative, but it's just the reality is a lot of stuff that gets put on hiatus for a long time.
Yeah.
Guys on a Show technically is on hiatus. I would love that for that show to come back, but I just, you know, Extra's going through a lot. I'm going through a lot, so I just don't know when it's going to be right for that show to come back.
Yeah.
So.
But
that show's also free.
Well, speaking of money and things, I would like to take a moment just to thank everyone who donated to my mom.
Yes.
She now has rent for another month, and the GoFundMe is still open. If anyone wants to contribute, I'll link it in the chat. But I really do appreciate it, and listening to my mom cry on the phone instead with happy tears was definitely more what I wanted to hear as opposed to, you know, when she called me after Michael died. She just got his ashes. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, she wanted me to pass on to all of you just how grateful she is to everyone that's contributed to and continues to contribute to her GoFundMe. So thanks everyone for keeping a roof over my mom's head until the government assistance comes through.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I also want to give a quick shout out here since we're talking about really good fundraisers. So this is one that I actually picked up through my Ingress Circles, which, you know, was a game we talked about a month ago here on the show. But this is really funny because I actually met this guy from playing Ingress, but he's actually like a fairly well-known classic game developer. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I had no idea that is like what you did and what you were known for. But anyway, his name's Chuck, and he was actually the creator and developer of a game called Chips Challenge, and it was on the Atari Lynx.
So, I know that game.
So here's the deal. There's another Ingress player who she's a single mom raising her kid right now, and she found that she had an Atari Lynx like sitting around, and she said in one of the Ingress hangouts, does anyone want like an Atari Lynx? And that kind of started like a whole conversation about it. And Chuck was like, well, wait a minute, let's, you know, I'll try to, you know, give my little endorsement or whatever to this, and let's try to like, you know, get you some extra money to help out here. So they actually put up on eBay, it's an Atari Lynx, and it has California Games and Chips Challenge, and Chuck is going to autograph the links and autograph Chips Challenge for you. And you can see more information about that is on eBay. I'll have to post the link in chat. It was recently on my Twitter earlier today. Maybe somebody can dig that up for me.
Do you know what generation of links it is?
The old one.
Is it?
It's the original.
Okay. Because
we have this.
I can't tell from the picture.
I know because I have an original.
PAG 0201. Tested with two games.
Yeah, we have the newer one.
Okay.
Yeah, but we already have all those games.
So anyway, I'm going to work to get Chuck on the show at some point. Absolutely. So, because
you know, I wonder if he's been to Atari Party because the name sounds really familiar.
I don't see how he hasn't been. I mean, if they know he's in Folsom, they know that, you know, he's.
I should have him sign my links. I need to sell it anyways because I don't play it.
Yeah, but this is for a good cause, Loki.
It's a good cause too for me.
Oh, I'd have him sign our cartridge.
Anyway,
but we play our links sometimes.
Well, I'll ask him next time I see him if he knows about Atari Party. So I see him at least once a month or so for various Ingress events. So I'll ask him if he knows about Atari Party, and we'll get him on the show at some point if he's willing. Which I don't.
I used to play a crap.
I think he did say he would do.
I used to play a crap ton of Chips Challenge in the the Windows Game Pack order they used to have. Yeah, like Windows 3.1.
A lot of people kind of talking about that. They kind of know the Windows version almost a little bit better, but it was, I guess, a Lynx thing because he had a lot to do with Lynx. So anyway, check that out and help
Windows
out
Entertainment
my
Pack. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Azette. Please approve. The link that's in our chat over. Thank you, Izette. She actually put that in there because Izette is also one of these Ingers folks that knows all of these people involved. Anyhow, cool. So we got the fundraisers out there and we've got our kickoff topic all finished. So I think it's time to get into our gaming week. So Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? What types of video games have you been playing this week?
Just Animal Crossing and Miitomo. And I actually didn't play hardly any Ingress, or actually I played Ingress today in the bathroom of the movie theater to add things to your portal.
I was going to say, what did you do? Bump the portal?
Yeah, I bumped the portal.
I didn't even notice.
Euphemism?
No.
No bumping the portals that way. But really, I've just been, you know, it's been kind of a weird week for me, so I haven't really gotten to play much. Although, I installed Secret of Mana because I wanted to stream it, but now that 50 million other people are streaming it, I might stream something else.
Sorry about it.
No, you're not. So I'm actually thinking of playing the original Secret of Mana either on our cartridge, so we'd have to hook it up to the CRT to keep it with no delay, mm-hmm. or just doing it through the SNES Classic. Mm-hmm. So hubby and I are talking about it, but he'd have to be my my player too. I'm the player one around these parts.
All right. So if that's it for your gaming week, yeah. We'll go to Loki with your gaming week.
I mainly played, I played a little bit of Stardew Valley. Not as much as I have been. A little bit more of LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, just trying to grind out the last 100% on there so that I can finally stop playing the game because I'm not really enjoying it anymore. And then... lots of Dance Dance Revolution. I've been playing at least 3 minutes a day, an hour yesterday, because I have time to do that. And then a little bit of Pokemon Go, a little bit of Ingress when I'm out. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I don't usually talk about the Ingress stuff, but I did go on about a two-hour bender last night just because we did Rocky Horror on Friday this weekend, which isn't the usual night. We usually do Saturday. So I was up until 2 a.m. on Friday, so I was kind of up late last night, so I was just like, you know, I'm bored, and I don't feel like playing Final Fantasy 14 again, so vroom vroom, let's go make green things. So I did that for a little bit, but otherwise I've, of course, been playing Final Fantasy 14. I got my Red Mage up to level 60. I've really enjoyed playing that class in the game. I really like how the kind of, like, ping-pong mechanic works in that game. You want to jump in here?
Yeah, I just remembered I've been playing WoW.
Oh,
because I've been
talking about MMOs reminded you of MMOs.
Well, yeah, I've been playing a Nightborne. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, awesome. I have also been playing a shit ton of Pokemon Go. Oh my god, like just having the gacha, like I'm able to play a lot. And Community Day is coming up this weekend. I'll probably play even more then. So yeah,
what is Community Day?
So that's kind of like what they're trying to do instead of the whole like we do a big event in Chicago and it melts down everything. So what they did last month is that they set like a 3-hour window and they're like, okay, for these 3 hours, and what they did last month is Pikachu is going to spawn everywhere. It's going to be like a Pikachu day. And for these 3 hours, it's double XP. And I don't remember if they did double Stardust. I don't remember, but it was something that it was at least double XP. And the amount of shiny Pikachus went way up. Like it was more like a 1 in 64 or a 1 in 128. I caught 4 shiny Pikachus in the 3-hour window of Community Day last time. So anyway, the Community Day they're going to do this month is Dratini, which is kind of a harder to find one. You know, most people in these parts, you know, even though we had the Anatolia farm the first 2 weeks of the game, that's long gone. So anybody getting into the game now, usually the only place to go is like Pier 39, or you might luck out once in a while in Cameron Lake. But otherwise, you have to hatch them, right? Like, you don't really get Dratini. So this is going to be great for people around the world. Dratinis are going to spawn everywhere. We don't know if shiny Dratini is going to happen, but it seems like lately in Pokemon Go, with all the events, they've been introducing a new shiny. Like, they did the Valentine's event where Love Disc was everywhere. Well, Shiny Love Disc was a part of that. They rolled out Shiny Love Disc for that. They just did, they just wrapped up Chinese New Year. It's Year of the Dog, right? So,
oh, that's why those dogs were everywhere.
Yeah, so Puccina, I think is the name from Gen 3, the gray dog. Well, the shiny tan dog started showing up. So they've been releasing new Shinies with events. So everybody expects that Shiny Pink, I think it is, Dratini, will start showing up, which means... Dragonite and Dragonair, I think is the middle evolution for that. So all those shinies are going to start. people are assuming that part, though, and Niantic has not confirmed that.
Hmm, okay.
So, but that's kind of neat if they're rolling out shinies very slowly to correspond with events, because my understanding is that the shinies don't go away just because the event did. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, other stuff I've been playing. I have also been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm, which has been my every week lately, but I'm still just trying to get my gold so I can buy my new characters. Been working on that. And then this week, I did get that Secret of Mana remake, and I did stream it, Jamie. I did stream it on Friday, about the first hour, maybe hour and a half of the game. I at least got up to the point where you get the girl character to join your party, because I got to name her Jamie. Because,
Aww. Well,
you know, it just makes it, if you look at the dialogue, she's kind of mean to the guy. And I was like, oh, it's Jamie to me.
Mean.
I'm just kidding. No, you're not mean. But, you know.
Always.
It's that very, she's just an independent woman who isn't here for your shit.
Yeah.
So, and that's Jamie. So I named Jamie. And of course, when the sprite joins the party, I'm going to name the sprite Loki. Although I'd like to do Loki as Tingle. But that might be too long. So Dark Soccer suggested on the Bobby Blackwolf call tonight, I do Lingle. And I'm kind of liking that. So
are you gonna that's do, so much like Linkle, which or you is could do the Logal. Character now.
Logal. I like Lingle. I think I'm going to go with that. So
makes me think of Lingonberries. Lingonberries are delicious.
All right. Anyway, so that was otherwise pretty much my gaming week. I'm enjoying The Secret of Mana so far. I think the redone music is actually fine. I think a lot of the problems I've been reading on the game is that, you know, it's just different from the original. And I don't know, like, I'm liking it. I get how you can kind of screw up the original when you do a remake. Like, look at Final Fantasy VI on tablets. Like, it's bad, right? But
oh, that's too bad. They have a bad version of Final Fantasy VI. Why is that even a thing?
It's because they probably just got the art done really cheap, and it shows. I do feel like the Secret of Mana thing kind of looks like it might have been designed with tablets in mind. I would not be surprised if this game shows up on tablets eventually, which would be funny because the original Secret of Mana is already on iOS, at least. It's got to be on Android, too, if I'm not mistaken. But I wouldn't be surprised if this shows up there, too, eventually. My only complaint is that there's some really weird things that happen with loading. Like, every time there's, like, a new texture or something happens, like, there's this little pause. And you could see it on my stream when I was streaming. It's like the game would kind of skip a little bit, and that was annoying. Granted, this is on PC. I have been playing the game on PC just because I thought, well, I can probably play in a higher resolution than I can on PlayStation 4. And it turns out you can play in a better resolution. So I was like, all right, I'll get it on PC.
How much RAM does your video card have?
I don't know a lot. I need to get a new video card, but my video card's not. Remember, I totally redid
should
my computer.
It doesn't matter. You know what? It should be able to run it anyways.
I redid my computer like 2 years ago, and it was top of the line then. So
it's just it. What it is it's Square Enix and their shitty ports is what it is.
But I don't think this is shitty. It's just that's one little hiccup with
okay.
it.
Okay. Unoptimized ports.
Okay. I'll agree with that. Unoptimized. Good. All right. I think we're going to get into some of the news. Usually I would talk about housekeeping here. I don't have a whole lot to say besides you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. And we will not be here the last weekend in March. We'll be gone that week. So, but otherwise we should be here. Even though it's killing us because Dark Soccer and I just found out that Trixie Mattel is going to be here in SAC 2 weeks from tonight.
Yep.
But we love y'all so much, we're going to do OLR anyway. But it's Sunday, March 25th. I'm not going to be here. So
we all need to go to Ready Player One. We need to do VOG or OLR at the movies.
We haven't done OLR at the movies in a while.
We need to go see Ready Player One.
We did Avatar to get. We went on a throuple date to Avatar.
Yeah.
So let's go see Ready Player One. Let's do it.
Opening night. Yes, let's do it.
When's opening night?
I hate seeing movies opening
night. I hate opening night.
But I'll do it.
Whatever. I'm going to go see opening.
It's the one reason I haven't gone to see Black Panther.
Yeah. We're waiting a couple of weeks to go see it. But
it's like I just saw Lady Bird today. That movie's been out for like 3 months. I'll see Black Panther in May.
For opening nights, I have to get off work.
Oh, yeah.
Because I work late.
We'll try to make something work.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into the news. Start us off with some gaming news, Loki.
THQ Nordic announced today that they had purchased Koch Media. So, if you may not know, Koch owned the rights to Saints Row, Metro, and Dead Island, which were previously owned by the old THQ, which went bankrupt and sold off all their assets. So it's like THQ buying old THQ stuff. So now it's back under THQ Nordic again.
So it's like they went back to the pawn shop and bought their ring that they had pawned a few weeks ago.
Sort of, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it's like it's back now.
But, I mean, technically it's kind of new people, but it's just kind of interesting how it's kind of moved in that, yeah.
It is interesting. I watched a little video today about Saints Row and, like, this guy's essay about why the franchise just kind of died. And, like, I completely agreed with all of it. It's basically just, especially, like, they're talking about, see, I can't even remember their stupid game that they had. The not Saints Row game that's... Whatever. It's so good.
That Agents of Mayhem.
Agents of Mayhem. Thank you. Yes, it was so good that the name just really stuck in my brain. Yes, Agents of Mayhem was supposed to be this thing that was completely a brand new IP, and yet they couldn't get away from Saints Row. And really, with Saints Row, it's always been kind of like a copycat game where originally it's like, okay, yeah, it's this game that's going to be kind of like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and then it kind of went over the top. And it's like, well, now Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5 are out. And it's like, well, shit, what are we going to do? Let's just go more over the top. And it just didn't work. It kind of lost sight of what it was supposed to be. And now that they tried to do this spinoff.
I did love the over-the-topness of Saints Row. But to be fair, I don't even remember if I started 4. I mean, I love 3. I laughed so fucking hard at 3.
No, 3 was good. 3 was all right. There was some room for improvement, but it was okay. I liked that game. That was fine.
That skydiving sequence, I cried. Yeah, I cried from laughing so hard.
4, though, was just like they basically it was slapped at it. It was the time that basically they were getting, from what I hear, they were getting pressured because originally 4 was supposed to be DLC for 3, and it's very obvious that it was. And they're like, well, instead of putting out DLC, you need to flesh it out into a full game and make that its own game. And that was kind of a problem.
PJ Technomage in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, I've never finished a single Saints Row game. Yeah, you and me both. But I have this problem inherently with all games. Like, if I finish a video game, that is really a testament because I am definitely the type of person that's like, I'm going to play this game. Shiny, something new's out.
Have you played Grand Theft Auto 5 yet?
I did. But I didn't beat it, that's for sure.
You should play it more.
But I at least started it.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
That's something.
I have actually finished all of the Saints Row games, so I can say that.
But then my problem is fucking MMOs. And it's weird because I'll keep playing MMOs forever and ever, even though you can't beat it. But it's something about that social element. Like, that's the thing. The social element can't be beat. And I think when I have played more console games, like, oh, here's a great example, Mass Effect 3. Right, I beat that entire fucking trilogy, and that's a great thing. That's a great testament to how good those games were, right? But then Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, I still played for a very long time, but that's because I had a lot of friends that were playing it, and it was a social thing. So,
I remember my problem with Saints Row 3. That's right. Saints Row 3, I thought was, you know, spoiler, because but it's been out forever. They kill off, like, the big bad guy in the beginning, like, pretty fast. Like, he's just knocked out, and just, like, in a really shitty way. It's just like, and now he's dead. And then, like, this other guy that's not quite, you know, I thought as good as the main bad guy becomes, like, the big bad guy, and then you fight him a bunch of times, and it's just kind of, it's lame. But then they tried to do too much, too. They just, like, threw everything together that didn't necessarily fit. It was like, now there's zombies for no reason. Now there's this. It's just... It didn't quite work.
Interesting. Conversation in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. VidPower says, we all have those comfort games that we keep playing despite new games coming out. And PJ Technomage says, Civilization for me. That's another one, though, that can be very social. Like, the easiest way to pull me back into Civilization is some of my Bay Area friends going, we randomly decided to play Civilization 4 tonight. We did. Cool. You know, and then now I'm up until 3 a.m. playing Civilization. Those games, you know, they don't end.
I haven't gotten into Civilization yet.
Oh, they're so good.
That's probably a good thing.
Isn't Civ 4 free on Twitch Prime, ?
I have them in my library. Okay. In my Steam library. I may have Civ 5. I bought the Civilization Humble Bundle a while back.
Chatters, where's Civ 4 free right now? I swear I saw something on that. Is Raginator here? He knows where the free games are. I swear I saw Civ 4 free somewhere. It wasn't GOG. I know GOG's been giving away a lot of free stuff lately, but it was somewhere else was giving it away. I think it was Twitch Prime. I really feel like it was that.
But I hope, you know, I know the new Metro game's coming out.
Thank you, ActDev confirmed it. Thank you. Thanks, Chatters.
The new Metro game looks pretty nice, so that's going to be something that's coming out. And I really do hope that there is a new Saints Row someday. Just stop it with the Agents of Mayhem thing. That just did not work at all. But I would like a new Saints Row game.
Well, another game that maybe folks will be looking forward to. How about a non-EA Star Wars game? So this is some pretty big fallout from the loot box controversy that kind of shot Battlefront in the foot. Now, I do want to stress this is a rumor. I will tend to cover these a little more on a slower news week, which this week has been. So again, take it with a grain of salt. But the word going around is that Disney is rumored to be speaking with two other developers besides EA. These developers are Ubisoft and Activision. What I also found interesting about this is that the outlet that, you know, I saw this on that's reporting this is My Nintendo News. And one interesting thing they're saying about the Ubisoft and Activision partnership is that if one of these two were to go through, we'd be likely to get the Star Wars games on the Nintendo Switch, which I thought was a very interesting kind of tongue-in-cheek little thing there, because we all know that EA kind of left Nintendo at the altar with the Wii U, right? Like, they got up on stage at that E3 and they're like, fuck yeah, we're going to support the Wii U. And then they put out, you know, some pretty shoddy ports of year-old games, and they were like, wow, none of these things are selling. We don't know why they're not. The Wii U's a disaster, everybody. What's going on? And then EA just left Nintendo at the altar. And EA hasn't really supported the Switch with the same intensity. I realize they're kind of throwing the Switch a bone here and there with, like, FIFA ports and stuff, but they're not as invested in the Switch as, say, you know, Ubisoft is right now. So isn't that interesting that perhaps Disney wants to let Ubisoft make a Star Wars game, because that would mean a Star Wars game on the Nintendo Switch, which is kind of the hot console right now. I realize there's a lot of love out there for PlayStation 4 and some for the Xbox One X and PC stuff as well, but certainly the Switch is growing and growing. It's already outsold the Wii U completely, and I think there's a lot of people that would like to see a Star Wars game on the Switch. Because Nintendo doesn't have the online system to support loot boxes very well.
They want to tap that younger audience, you know, sure, so that they can be involved in all Star Wars things.
Sure. So, I'd be very interested to see what happens with all this, and it's also kind of fascinating that EA might lose their exclusive hold on Star Wars over what happened in Battlefront. Like, we're starting to see the results of all that bad press. So,
as they should. It's been mismanaged for two games now.
Yeah. So, ouch. Jamie, would you be interested in a Star Wars game from Ubisoft on the Switch?
I haven't been interested in a Star Wars game in a very long time, Rob.
Since 1981 in Vector Graphics?
Not even then.
What? I love that game. Oh my God, did you know? And I didn't even know this. Tangent time, slow news.
I'm talking about like Super Return of the Jedi.
Tangent train pulling into the station. Choo choo. Okay. So, I didn't even know this. In Old Town Sac, because some friends were visiting from out of town. So I did the tourist thing and I went to Old Town Sac with them this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a classic game arcade in this toy shop. I didn't even know I didn't even know there was a toy shop in Old Town now. B, there's a classic arcade in the back.
I remember a toy shop being there, but I didn't know they had a...
It's small. It's like one tiny little room. But the reason why I bring it up, they had a Star Wars machine, original Vectors graphics, right? 50 cents a play.
And Tiger Claw is entirely wrong. Says that I'm more of a Star Trek fan than a Star Wars fan. You are wrong.
They have a classic arcade down in...
I am a Doctor Who fan. And that's classic Doctor Who. And also for the record... Star Wars was the first movie I had ever been taken to. I was 9 months old. So you cannot say that Star Trek is bigger in my heart than Star Wars.
You can say that about me. I prefer Star Trek.
Don't make
to Star
assumptions
Wars.
When you know nothing, Jon Snow.
But I don't hate Star Wars by any means. I like Star Wars a lot. I still need to see Episode 8 But again, I just saw Lady Bird today, so maybe we'll go see episode 8 next week.
Lady Bird was great.
Is episode 8 still playing anywhere? It's got to be somewhere. Sunrise Mall?
No. Sunrise doesn't have it.
Really?
Episode 8. I don't think. I mean, no, I looked there. I honestly looked at the movies playing there.
I hate calling it by those numbers.
All right. Well, anyway. But I like Star Trek a lot. In fact, what am I going to do tonight? There's no Discovery to watch tonight. I'm a little, what do I do with myself?
You can watch the new episodes of Queer Eye, which are all right. But there's one that Mortified is really good on
I forget Netflix. That you and the wife like super dig Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
I don't like the new series. Okay.
Really? You're the first person I've heard say that they
there's
don't like
no
the new
Carson
one.
There's no Carson Kressley.
Yes, that's one. But two, they're like in the original Queer Eye, it was really kind of Carson was kind of the only one that was like annoying, I guess, sometimes. Like he was just kind of would play up stuff and it'd be ridiculous and all that. But in the new series, all of them do it. And it's so irritating and annoying that they just waste so much time and it's just like go on these tangent things in the show. It's like, okay, dude, tone it down a smidge. It's just a little much.
Man, I hate it when my favorite shows go on tangents. Anyway, let's go to our next game.
At least I'm not sitting, you know, here simulating childbirth like they did in the show. That was something that they did in the show. While this guy's leaning next to them going, dude, what the fuck did I sign up for? Like, seriously, what the fuck is going on here?
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, father.
All right, let's go to our next story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Oh, God. So, sorry people who got certain copies of Bayonetta 2 on Switch because the download codes were misprinted. Oopsies. It was a download code to get Bayonetta 1, and some of these codes were printed incorrectly. So if it happened to you and you're listening and you hear this, go to support.nintendo.com and report it so that you can get your proper code. It also said that you can call the Nintendo Contact Center at 800-255-3700, which when I was a kid, it was long distance.
And you had to talk to a game counselor.
Dude, they were fun, though. I talked to all kinds of cool people.
Who was some temp with a giant binder.
My grandmom's like, why are you calling...
Washington.
Why are you calling Washington? Reasons. But, yeah.
Internet friend. Oh, wait, and they didn't have the internet back then.
And it's not particular batches of it that went to certain retailers. They are multiple batches, so it's just an odd misprint. So if it happened to you, you're not alone.
Well, I need to try my my Bayonetta is still in the box because I'm kind of waiting on it until I have had my fill of Secret of Mana streaming, and then I'm going to go over to Bayonetta. So I should try to cash in my code. I wouldn't want to get left out in the cold.
Thou shalt do such a thing.
Okay. I would be very sad if I got shut out of
drinking my
Bayonetta.
Shot of wine now.
That's right. If you're just joining us, it is National Wine Day. The 18th here. So if I seem a little out of it tonight, it's because I'm now two glasses in. Cheers.
Three sheets to the wind. Three sheets to the wind.
No, my wine does not come in a box.
No, it's Frivolo. It's delicious.
But no judgment if yours
does.
They
changed their bottles, Rob, and that makes me sad in my heart.
Why did they change the bottles?
But I don't know. This is delicious, and I miss being able to drink.
We fear change. All right. Loki, next story.
So kind of on the topic of Star Wars Battlefront, and the whole loot box controversy. Senator Maggie Hassan, the New Hampshire Democrat senator, she wrote an open letter to the ESRB urging them to review the completeness of the board's rating process and policies as they relate to loot boxes and to take into account the potential harm these microtransactions may have on children. Of course, you know, the ESRB has made comment regarding loot boxes in the past, being that they don't really see the harm in it. But then again, you know, this is funded by the ESA, which is backing the games industry. And of course, you know, the games industry is making several billions of dollars off of these types of loot boxes and stuff. And so they don't want to see that cash cow go away. So it's going to be interesting. I see this as more of like, hey, maybe you should take a look at this and consider regulating it. Because if you don't,
yeah,
we're going to.
No, I and that's really fascinating to me that, you know, now we have a say senator or representative?
Senator.
Senator, okay. So that you have this senator basically going with the ESRB saying, you might want to reevaluate that thing you said about loot boxes not being a problem. Yeah, you might want to reevaluate that. And that is definitely the equivalent of like a verbal warning. So, I mean, that really says to me that the ESRB is under a lot of pressure to self-regulate this, because certainly she is not the first senator to look at this.
No, she's not. In fact, you know,
a lot of this has been on the state level. Is she a state senator or is she a national senator?
I think she's a state senator.
Okay. So still a lot of it's only been on the state level, but it's really just a matter of time before that buzz.
Yeah.
Of course, that would require our Congress to actually do something, but that's a whole other tangent for another
day. But you could be done on the state levels, and if they have regulations on the state levels, then how are you going to – I mean, that's still going to affect something.
If they go through, because remember California passed something, and that ended up getting overturned by the Supreme Court in the end, although – I would say the whole loot box thing is all.
But wasn't that about violent video games?
It was. It was about the violent video game and the fact that the standard was very nebulous when there already is an ESRB, which I am pretty sure was called out in the Supreme Court decision that there was an ESRB, which is even more the reason why, you know, a lot of these, you know, political folks look to the ESRB to regulate and fucking handle this stuff. Like, it's your job to fix this. It's essentially what's being said.
Well, at the same time, you know, like, aside from, you know, government stepping in and all this, it's just people that are consumers of these games have to consider that if you don't want this kind of stuff in these games, you know, bite the bullet and just don't buy the game. Like, I was interested in Star Wars Battlefront because I wanted to try the single-player campaign, which apparently was not very good, and then the whole loot box thing on top of that, I was like, well, shit, I'm just not going to buy it. So I spoke with my wallet, but, you know, like if there's, say, Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out and it's just loot box shit, like all, it's just loot boxes just integrated entirely in the game. It's just obstructive, just like it is with Battlefront, then maybe I'll have to pass.
Well, hopefully something they don't throw into loot boxes in the future is better graphics, but I think it's only a matter of time, right? You unlocked HD textures.
They have texture. You unlock skins, so.
There's a big difference, though, Loki, with that. The cosmetics are one thing. But anyway, the whole reason I make a silly transition like that is because over on the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S, 1440p support is coming in the near future. This is from Kevin Gamill, who's the program manager for Microsoft's Xbox platform partner group, in a tweet said, many questions recently around the timing of our 1440p support. Those of you in our early preview ring should be pleasantly surprised very soon if you have an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X, meaning that that support is coming very soon. Now you might be thinking, well, what's the big deal? Because the Xbox One X does 4K gaming, so who gives a shit about 1440p? Well, you may notice I included the Xbox One S in that, which right now doesn't really support 1440p, but it sounds like it will. However, I do need to stress, and this is a big however, the 1440p for gaming is not going to be something for Xbox One S. I'm assuming that is the interface will look a little crisper, and maybe some of the maybe like video playback and things like that, if you have a video that supports it. But
are there TVs out there that support 1440p? I thought it was like computer monitors.
Yeah, it's more. I think it's more computer monitors that support it. But the only 4K device in my house is a computer monitor, so I'm sure there's some people out there that
I
do
just
have...
thought, like, you know, if it's a 4K TV, why would you want to output the 1440?
Well, maybe you have a 4K TV, but you only have an Xbox One S.
I have a 4K TV, and I don't have anything to utilize it other than the regular high def.
So if, hypothetically, you had an Xbox One S, which is weird that the older Xboxes won't support
well,
it.
Well, I look forward to those online advertisements in extra clarity.
The only thing that I'm going to get 4K right now is when I get my 4K Apple TV. Which, by the way, you can play Sonic CD on it.
Oh, I keep forgetting there's games on Apple TV.
And they're fun.
They don't.
I bought a controller, the SteelSeries controller, to use on my Apple TV.
Yeah?
And we freaking played through Sonic CD together on the Apple TV.
Is there a lot of stuff on that?
I haven't looked lately, but I just cared because I already owned Sonic CD, so I just installed it.
I know there was that random harmonics game that was like only on Apple TV.
Yeah.
I never saw it anywhere else.
That we immediately forgot about.
Yeah, well, I personally just don't have an Apple TV, but for me...
I'd sell you mine when I buy my new one.
Well, my game consoles do everything. What's my Apple TV going to do? You
Drag
know?
Race.
Actually, I may... Is there a VH1 app or something?
No, I just have bought the season.
I use... it's the one thing that I can actually use the Xfinity On Demand for, is I can watch All Stars 3 at 5 o'clock. Because you can get it as soon as it hits the East Coast.
I just usually watch it the next day after everyone spoiled it for me.
Annoying. All right, let's move on to another story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, I was disappointed that I had no Bitcoin. I thought I had one.
Yeah, I was going to ask whatever happened with that.
I thought I had it.
You thought you had like 25 Bitcoin, and I was like, bitch, you're a millionaire.
Well, I thought that I did.
That was an error.
Of course.
And it was...
You would have needed to... Yeah, if she didn't sell it that week, I told her, then now she'd be a thousandaire.
And then it was like, it ended up I had like a Dogecoin.
Oh. you had the Dogecoin.
That's something, isn't it?
They gave away a ton of Dogecoin at Gamers. I think the value of Dogecoin went way up. Like, it was worth, like, next to nothing, and now maybe it's a nickel.
No. At any rate...
I'm even thinking Litecoin.
Well, and it took me, like, an hour to get back into my old wallet, because it was the old-style wallet.
Even I think I have Dogecoin, too.
Well, I'm not worried.
Fuck if I know how to get in my wallet.
Well, I figured out how to get back into my Bitcoin wallet, and that was interesting.
Oh, I don't have Bitcoin.
Because you had to have,
thankfully, I don't.
You had to do like these words, and they had to be perfect.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, if anyone is regretting their lack of Bitcoin right now, there is a game that is offering a shot at winning one Bitcoin, which is about 10 grand. The game is on Steam for $1.99, and actually it's on sale on the release date for 40% off, so you can get it for $1.19. But it's called Monte Crypto, the Bitcoin Enigma. It looks like it's first person and has 24 puzzles, but the first person to beat it will win one Bitcoin. So, hey, you want 10 grand? Play this game that they're trying to bribe you to play.
I don't think Bitcoin's still worth 10 grand. I think Bitcoin came down a bit, but maybe it'll go back up. I don't know. Like, it's so hard to fucking know these days what's going to happen with the cryptocurrency. It's been pretty volatile.
Yeah.
Who cares? When the prize is more than the price of the game, you still end up in positive.
Yeah, fair enough.
But they'd have to sell, even at that rate, because this is at the time the article was printed, they'd have to sell 5,000 copies of the game. So, good luck. It has a fun name. I like Monte Cristo sandwiches.
Oh, Bobby tells me I'm wrong. There's a big surprise. And that Bitcoin is $10,566 right now. I swear I saw just in the last week it had dropped to like $600 or something like that.
Oh,
like
no,
maybe 6,000 or something. I thought it dropped a lot.
Girl.
Okay.
It's that volatile.
So, okay, so I'm not crazy. It has been going up and down like a lot. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. Chatters are meeting me halfway. Yes, it did go down, but it went back up since
You know
then.
What, though? If I had Bitcoin and I sold it when the whole thing was going down and I had $1 million, do you know that you can technically live off the interest of $1 million and not have to work? You'd have to live frugally.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you still do it in today's standards? Like, I know that's something you used to be able to do, but like... It takes more to live on in this day and age than it used to.
But what I would do is I would actually pay off my house, and then I would find a part-time job and write a book.
I don't know if I could ever not work. Okay, you ready? You ready for another tangent train? Choo-choo, choo-choo. Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. Slow news week tangent train. Choo-choo. And this story literally involves trains.
Oh, that's because you went to the train museum.
I did. Again, I had friends from out of town. Is PJ still listening? Hello, hiya. If Kevin's out there too, hi, hello, hello. So they were visiting from out of town. So we went to Old Town and we went to the train museum because PJ's a fan of trains.
You know, the train museum is the first time I ever saw a Mennonite person in person.
No.
True story.
Anyway, I went to the train museum. And one thing I forgot, like, about the train museum is that, you know, you can actually, like, well, I didn't forget that you could walk into the trains. But as you do walk into the trains, there's actually people sitting there that work for the museum in the trains just to make sure you're not horsing around or trying to ruin anything, you know, protecting the integrity of the exhibits. Or, like, one of the ladies that was policing the dining car, she would actually play the dining chimes every few minutes.
Cool.
And then she'd be like, and look what else you can play with the chimes. And she'd go, boo. boo, boo. She played the NBC theme with the chimes.
Funny.
So anyway.
Who remembers that?
Silly stuff. But the reason why I say that and how it relates to what you were just saying is I was thinking, you know what? That's going to be me when I'm like 75. Not that I'm literally going to work at the train museum, but I would bet I'm going to end up at some museum like part-time, like teaching people about that, doing like that volunteer stuff, because I don't ever see myself like not working either. Like not working is fun for probably a few weeks, maybe even a few months, but then I would think like, oh my God, I'm going to go crazy.
You'll just add more podcasts.
That's still working in a way.
Super enjoyed my fun employment because at the time I was living rent free and I went to Disneyland a bunch and I pretty much just still did kind of whatever I wanted to. But what I should have done was started my book and I'm going to write that book. It's going to get started this year.
Okay, I'm laughing hard over here because Tiger Claw may have got something wrong with you a minute ago, but he just got this very, very right.
What?
Tiger Claw says, Rob will be at a podcast museum.
That's pretty true.
Back in my day, my friends and I sat around and we talked about video games. You know what a video holodeck game is, Timmy?
Now get off my lawn.
Now get off my goddamn lawn.
No, it'd be get off my hollow lawn. We'd have holographic lawns. Simulate the feeling of grass.
What's a video, Grandpa? Like, it'll just be it. Everything's implanted into the chip in our brain now.
I was talking about that with somebody today. That we should have like our ability to use our driver's license like Apple Pay. And then I was like, no, it's just going to be a little tattoo on our skin that has a QR code that you scan.
In the words of Sasha Velour, don't joke about that.
But it's already happening. They're already working on that technology.
Did I tell you about the one tattoo I was thinking about getting?
No.
So they have this type of tattoo where you actually get a tattoo of a sound wave, a sound form, tattooed on your body. And then you have an app on the phone that you can scan the sound form and it plays it. So I was thinking about, since I'm fortunate that I have a lot of audio of my mom from her appearances on this program, when she was around, I have considered getting something of hers tattooed. Here's the trick, though, just so you know, because somebody in chat will correct me on it. Because you might be wondering, like, wait a minute, how do you get the sound to be that crisp? It's all kind of an illusion because it's not really you are getting an accurate representation of the sound form. But all the app is doing is it's reading the kind of like the close what it looks like and then looking it up in the database and playing the sound. So it is kind of
Works kind of like a QR.
It's It's what it is instead of a QR code. But I still kind of like the idea. I mean, even if it's not 100% accurate, I just love that idea because I am into sound. I do podcasting. I think that's one of those things where I can't possibly see how I would regret that decision.
See, I'm planning on having a medical QR code. Where, you know what I'm talking about? Where it scans.
Oh, instead of Life Alert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, by all rights,
So I'm sorry. Life Alert is I've fallen and I can't get up. Medic Alert.
Yeah,
is
medic
it
alert.
Working?
Like the bracelets.
The tattoo. It's not working.
like the bracelets, but it would actually have a little label. It says medical ID and a QR code on it that would bring up a page that you can update. That lists your allergies, your surgeries, all the things like that without having them to invasively go into your phone for this information. And I recommend to everyone right now, I know we're going way off topic, but if you have a health app on your phone, keep it up the fuck to date because they do look at that information.
Yeah, mine is actually up to date too. So that's a good advice if you ever are in an issue or what have you. Yeah. Yes, we are off topic tonight, but I warned them in the first 5 minutes it was National Wine Day. So you know what?
Hey, I had my ounce of wine, and I've already lost it now, but I was pretty tipsy for about a good minute.
Man, we do have 2 hours.
Welcome to Orange Lounge Radio, everybody.
I can't.
All right, so how about another story, Loki?
All right. So, I don't know what Atari is doing nowadays. I mean, it seems like that they're just trying to jump on all of the terrible bandwagons at the same time. So, you may remember that they have their Atari console coming out that we have still no fucking clue what the hell that is. Then they have their Kickstarter thing that they did crowdfunding for the Roller Coaster Tycoon game that's probably going to suck for the Switch. And now now they're announcing that the Atari token is going to be their new cryptocurrency that they're going to offer people to buy, because that's the road to the future.
Well, maybe my Dogecoin will be worth something more than this.
Yeah, so the Atari token. So, you know, basically they announced, you know,
oh my God, can I play Yar's Revenge with the token? Is that the joke? That, like, you buy this fake currency and you can play games online with it?
I don't think so. I think that they're hoping that they're going to become rich from this.
Why doesn't Atari just do the fucking obvious, like what I just said? Like, why not really give that cryptocurrency some value right off the bat? Like, look, I'm not trying to shade on cryptocurrency. I understand it's a thing that a lot of people are into. And I even to an extent, I'm like, okay, Bitcoin is making more and more sense to me, especially when you explained it a few weeks ago, Jamie, and made the whole analogy with, like, Xbox points or whatever they were called. Like, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. But Bitcoin is only worth what Bitcoin's worth because more and more places are accepting Bitcoin. But, like, if Atari right off the bat said, you can use this Atari coin for our rich catalog of Atari products, then it kind of has some inherent value right off the bat. Even if it's small, even if it's not a big deal, it has some value.
Let's just assume that, you know, people are going to want to hold on to these Atari tokens because they're not sure that it's going to become. Remember, there's, you know, ways you could pay for pizzas and stuff with Bitcoin at one time. I bet the person that paid for a pizza with that Bitcoin's probably regretting it quite a bit nowadays. I could just fucking use cash. Instead, I spent $30,000 on that pizza.
The same could be said that I didn't invest in my 401k enough money. I went to Disneyland instead. And am I going to regret that when I'm 65? I might. But at the same time, I got to go to fucking Disneyland. So, Loki, what I'm trying to tell you is that pizza was fucking good.
Hope it was. But anyways, yeah, so they're saying, you know, with that blockchain technology is poised to take a very important place in our environment and to transform, if not revolutionize, the current economic ecosystem, especially in areas of video game industry and online transactions. So, because I don't understand enough about blockchain and shit, how is it that we're just creating money from nothing? I mean, is what I want to know. Because, like, if we can just create money from nothing, then I guess I should just come out with my coin and sell that and stuff.
A Vogue coin? Is that what you want? A Vogue coin?
I don't know. I mean, what's
Bobby?
If Atari,
I want a Vogue coin. Can we get a Vogue?
If Atari can do it, and Atari is just like,
I can already see the look. Just on, like, I can already see the disapproving look on Bobby's face and the arched eyebrows.
The thing is that I don't think that Bitcoin was created from nothing, technically. I think that it was created with a pool of real funds into creating this currency. Because, I mean, think about it. The origins of coinage anyway were a result of having something for a barter system. It was a unit of, instead of having physical goods to change, people would then use these as a token to exchange for other goods. So it's basically adding another layer into the barter system. And then from there, now all society will, unless you are extremely, extremely communist, you know, works on this now system of currency. They've just taken that system of currency to work the way, almost like our credit cards do. Except our credit cards work on debt, whereas Bitcoin is, it's not, while it may not have physical substance, it's as substantial in currency as having coinage. Make sense?
Yeah, Akuma JP kind of adds to your thought saying money was just a paper if not for banks. So kind of a... Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Jamie just did the actual Oprah gif that you may have seen where Oprah just kind of goes, there you go. Like, she takes her arms, there you go.
But the Jamie other thing too that. Is, I mean, if you want to have another prime example of this, let's just use American history here for a second. Confederate money. They created the money for the Confederacy. When the Confederacy died, the money became worthless. Except as, you know, to collectors.
Collectors, yeah.
Museums. Or yeah. After World War I, the Deutschmark. Because the country was so impoverished, their money was nothing. People were using Deutschmarks to actually use as kindling because they were worth nothing. So, I mean, there you go. It only has the value ascribed to it by whatever financial institution is behind it and the power of the country it's in. So,
or commemorative plates.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, I'm trying to figure out if I really want to take my old tokens from Electronica, the experience at Disney California Adventure, and put the Vogue logo on it and give them to you as a Vogue coin. You know, there's kind of a there's a double meaning there, though, because remember when Vogue was born, when the idea came out that this is a thing that should be happening. It was at Disneyland at Electronica, so...
Well, and I do agree with JD that's either collector's items or racist tokens and as back to the Confederate money. But there also are historians who collect.
There is historic value in it, even though that history is not a pleasant one to always confront.
I also do know people who collect defunct coinage and, you know, have like old Roman coins, old, you know, even, you know, little stone coins, mm-hmm. you know, from other, you know, cultures.
One man's trash is another's treasure, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to, it's not cryptocurrency, something completely different. It's VR. And this is the interesting headline out there. Nintendo president is interested in VR, but says nothing interesting has been done yet with the tech. Well, that comment's just leading itself open. What do you mean nothing interesting has been done? Well, hold on. So here's the quote from Tatsumi Kimishima, who, of course, is the president of Nintendo right now. He said in this tweet, I guess, that came from Japanese Nintendo. Was this in an interview or something? I'm not sure where the interview was or what have you. But the quote was, I understand that VR is interesting as a technology, and I am very interested in it. I will use it if I can make interesting things with it. We have not done anything interesting yet. So
I'll give him that.
with the technology. Here's the thing, and this is what it really boils down to. And you know, I'm gonna take his words in another fashion and agree with it. And that is that VR does not yet have its Wii Sports. And that's what Nintendo, you know, really does. Well, A, they didn't invent the VR technology. They like to do this stuff with the new ways to game that they invent. But if Nintendo can kind of find that must-have way to incorporate VR, that must-have game, or kind of see that must-have game out there, then they're going to jump on board
with
it. Are
you telling me that VR chat isn't the Wii Sports of VR?
Regretfully, Loki, I'm sorry to inform you, don't think it is.
I don't know. I think there's been plenty done with VR, but yeah, there's not like been any really killer apps that have sold the platform, I think. I mean, there's been a lot of good games, but nothing like, you know, as defining as like Mario Odyssey or something like that for VR. You don't, when you think of VR, you don't really think of like a particular game. It's more of just kind of an experience or a platform. So I get it there, but also at the same time, it almost seems like that they're just defending themselves of the fact that they're not entering that market as like, oh, well, nothing significant's been done with it yet. That's why we're doing what we're doing, you know, kind of thing. Because they did the same thing, or and like other companies did the same thing with like motion controls or Rumble or like HD and all that stuff. And they've made that argument like before where it's like, eh.
Here's the thing. Nintendo is in this position now that they don't have to defend their fucking choices. 4 years ago, they needed to defend their fucking choices because the Wii U is not performing. The Switch, on the other hand, is exceeding expectations in many ways. So whether we like it or not, Loki, and we've had this conversation 1,000 times, even though you and I go back and forth all the time on Nintendo and things they ought to be doing better, the reality is they're selling shit tons of Switches. They've got enough on it that's fun to play. So VR be damned for them. They'll incorporate VR when it suits their narrative. And that's what it boils down to. In the meantime, cardboard folded into interesting shapes to do crazy things. That is what Nintendo sees a market in instead.
And they're into gimmicks.
And it's like, and I'm not shading that because like a lot of people are like, wow, that's fucking neat. Like, and even I'm like, I don't know if that's for me, but that is kind of fucking neat. And the more and more stuff I see them doing with it, like I did see that little like light gun thing they were doing. So I guess it's a new one they're doing with Labo is like a light gun. And I'm like, okay, that is kind of neat.
It's just,
I know it's
a gimmick. Yes, it's a gimmick. It's cardboard. It's a gimmick to sell a tech demo game. And honestly, I hope the games are good because that's where it's going to come down to. But it's like, no, it's an interesting concept, but no.
I think the whole thing with Labo, though, is that it has to have been in development for quite some time because does anyone remember when Nintendo for Wii U was talking about Project Giant Robot?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that game actually ended up, looks like it's what got turned in to the Toy-Con 2, the robot kit.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think Nintendo just didn't want to maybe waste those resources when they saw the writing on the wall for the Wii U. It was just kind of like, well, how do we not lose what we've done here so far? And it was repurposed. I don't think it was like designed with Labo in mind or anything like that. And I think that kind of shit happens in the game industry all the time. Well, shit, Overwatch, right? That game is fucking insane what that game's doing, right? Overwatch came from Project Titan, which got axed, you know? And we'll never know, really. I mean, we've heard rumors and things of what Project Titan was, but all we know is that a lot of the stuff for Overwatch, like some of these maps and things, were supposed to be like a part of Titan. And I think the game in Overwatch was like one element of Titan, but they instead put it into this like full-fledged game. So anyway, long story short, sometimes these games are born from canceled things, you know, or they evolve. So anyhow, let's travel to a simpler time, shall we? There was no virtual reality or anything like that. You know what there was?
They tried.
There was a power glove, which is a great transition into the classic peripheral of the month.
Yep.
Because usually every week on this show, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brat should be checking this game out. But in a 2017 twist, she did systems every month. And this year, 2018, she's doing one peripheral a month. So Dark Soccer.
No one should use this one, though.
Okay, this is a bad peripheral.
It is. And but
wait, hold on, hold on. Bobby, see, sometimes we pick bad things.
But I didn't pick that game, so.
No, that was a week you weren't here. All right.
But
anyway.
But I've decided that because it's kind of hard to find music to go with some of these, that I'm trying to pick, like, I guess music from the system, like BIOS music or something.
Uh-huh.
So I picked the Sega CD BIOS 2 because, honestly, it's awesome.
But that's not the peripheral. The Sega CD is not the peripheral.
But it worked on it.
Okay. Well, what is the classic peripheral of the month?
It is the Activator by Sega. And when I had moved out here, we bought an Activator with Eternal Champions for $10 at Virgin. If you remember the old Virgin store that we had here. It was released for the Sega Mega Drive in 1993, also known in the U.S. as the Genesis. And the technology was used in, similar technology was used in the Sega System 32 fighting game, Dragon Ball Z VR Versus. So it used your motion sensors to play the game. But anyway, it was when a lot of companies were investing in virtual reality. Or I would more put this as augmented reality, but not the type of AR that we're used to using our phones, but as a way to immerse the movement of the player with the game, you know. And so the Activator was developed by a company called Interactive Light for Sega. And then it was, for those in Brazil, it was brought there by Tech Toy. But it was based off of a musical instrument called the Light Harp. That was conceived of by a person named Asaf Gerner. Did we know that? No, we did not. It had 8 segments that put it together. It made an octagonal ring that you place on the floor, and then it fires beams of light upwards. Where
just like a para-para machine.
Yes, I was getting to that.
Sorry.
It seems to me like also one of the influences for para-para.
Hmm.
At least the game versions. Para-para is by itself special. So you would break the light beams by kicking or punching to send signals to the Mega Drive console, and then it's supposed to, you know, repeat it in game. It's basically a giant control pad with your, you know, your left, up, right, down, A, B, C, and start buttons mapped to those segments. They were marketing it as a martial arts simulator, that it was supposed to work specifically with the fighting games, but a lot of games just did not work very well with it. And you could also distort those light beams by not having a flat ceiling. And we tried it in my house that had a vaulted ceiling at the time. I mean, we've still got vaulted ceilings now, but it really didn't work very well. And then, like I said, they revamped the activator for Dragon Ball Z VR Versus, and it had extra sensors so that it could better read, you know, what was going on. And it was really popular. And it was also one of the first full body motion games, because, you know, we've had several since then. Like, well, we have Police 911, and wasn't there like a firefighting game or something? Anyway, but there were some games that were designed for the activator, and they were called activated. So there was Best of the Best Championship Karate, Eternal Champions, Greatest Heavyweights, and Streets of Rage 3. It had support for Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 2, Special Champion Edition, and Streets of Rage 2, and the Sega 32X versions of Mortal Kombat 2 also mentioned the activator by game, but it didn't work very well. There were also a couple of unreleased games that were meant to be specifically used by the activator, but were canceled, called Air Drums and Bounty Hunter. And that's it. That was the activator. It came in this big red box that had all the, you know, 90s looking text that, you know, it glowed and had, you know, drop shadows and shit. So there you go. The activator. The flop of the week.
Yeah, it was kind of shitty, but but an important, you know, peripheral nonetheless. Not all peripherals were great.
Well, it's only slightly better than the U-Force.
Hey, don't spoil what might be an upcoming.
I did the U-Force last month.
Oh, why did I?
Girl.
I thought for some reason you did the Power Glove the first month. I don't remember
why.
No,
well, I haven't done the Power Glove yet just because it's so bad.
We talk about it so often.
I'm trying not to do anything too terribly obvious.
That's fair.
But.
That's fair.
Because I can't. Because Para Para Biscuits, yeah, they're a peripheral, but they were part of the arcade game.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I'd like to have some suggestions from people, like what is so shitty it deserves to be mentioned.
I'm going to say go to our Discord to shout those out.
I kind of pay attention to the Discord.
I pay close attention to it.
It took me, 3 months to join it?
Good job. You're finally on board.
Yay.
VogNetwork.com/Discord.
I also, though, have my own channel in there, too, but I don't do anything with it.
JD has a great question. Is it terrible peripherals only?
No.
No,
they can be great because this is going to probably be a 2-year segment.
Oh, you're going to stretch this into 2019.
Because there's so many things.
There are a lot.
And I've run out of ideas.
All right. OLR confirmed through 2019.
We'll see.
All right. Anyhow, we're going to take a quick break, you guys.
In 2020, I'm probably going to do like video game related endorsement of the month. Like, you know, Mario cereal.
Video game commercial of the month.
Now I'm going to do endorsement. So that means I can also talk about Doki Doki Panic.
All right.
And Rekka.
Sure. We can talk about Cool Spot on the NES.
I'd rather not.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, you guys. When we come back, there is plenty more of Orange Lounge Radio coming up, including we'll talk about some rapid fire news, including some updates on Stardew Valley and Dragon Ball FighterZ. And then we'll talk a little bit about Overwatch. Why not? We already brought it up earlier in the show, so we'll talk about it a little more. All this and more when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 719 of our show for this February the 18th of 2018, already in progress. Let's get into, before we get into rapid fire news, actually, I got to ask Loki about this because I'm sure you've been following some of this news and it's been coming up on the Discord. We were talking about Discord before the break and definitely some folks talking about movies coming up. Ready Player One, of course, all those character posters are showing up, and there's a lot more news about that.
Yeah.
Dark Sakura and I even saw the Ready Player One poster today at the theater, so it was like, that movie's getting closer, getting hype. Excited for that?
Yes, I'm very excited for it.
So here's another movie. I didn't even know this was happening, but apparently they're doing another Kung Fury movie?
Yeah.
So is this just a remake of the short as a movie? Or
I think they're doing a full-length movie, sequel. But as a sequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and apparently, and what I'm reading online, Michael Fassbender,
is in it. We don't know what he's...
Yes, he was in Shame. Yes, we all know that movie.
I just want the soundtrack to still be done by Mitch Murder. Because
soundtrack was great.
Well, thanks to my friend Nikki, I've, I guess, discovered Retro New Wave, which is all that 80s style synth pop. And I've listened to some of his other stuff, and it's amazing.
Have you ever played Hotline Miami?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, that's...
Because, like, I mean, if they have him or Future Cop or Droid Bishop on that soundtrack, or, you know, even pull Stan Bush out of retirement, you know.
Is Hasselhoff confirmed for this one?
He is.
Yes. And then I saw good old Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former governor of this state that kind of had a disgraceful exit. But he's back doing movies again. So he's going to be doing Kung Fury.
Yes.
I just hope he doesn't take Andrew Kalsing's role, the Thor god. I hope Schwarzenegger is not there to take that role.
No, I think he's supposed to play someone else. Like, I think he might even be the villain or something like that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Maybe. Nice. Mean, so, I don't know. But, yeah, it's... He's not... No, he's not going to take Thor's role or anything.
As long as that arcade machine comes back. it got killed in the first one, didn't it?
There's always a chance that more of them will come back. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. Of course, that's so far off, you know. We'll have to see when that comes out. But I hope they don't replace the guy that plays Kung Fury, because I understand Fassbender's in it, but like, what they didn't say he is Kung Fury, so I don't know.
No, I don't know. I guess we still have some time to find out, but I'm kind of shocked that they're getting like all this big talent very suddenly. So,
because it's a cheat, it's more of like... It's a fun project. I think at this point, when you've done so many big things...
When
and
you've
stuff,
made Assassin's Creed, what else is left to
well,
do?
Well, like, look at like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Perfect example, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan are in like some Chinese film or something, when he plays like this general guy in that as well. It's just kind of like fun projects. It's not necessarily like... They've made their money.
Well, like,
I mean,
Arnold Schwarzenegger at this point kind of has to make fun of himself. Like, there's really nothing left for him.
I think, yeah, I mean, you take some roles for money and you take some roles because they're just fun or just stupid weird or something. I don't know. So, but yes, I am incredibly excited about Ready Player One.
All right. So lots of stuff going on in gaming. And then we saw also a poster for Tomb Raider, because that's just, I didn't realize how close that movie is.
I didn't even know it was coming out.
And if you saw, well, I don't know if you've seen the new trailer for Ready Player One. They have that plane in front of... Black Panther right now as well. It's also online. But there is a cameo from Hello Kitty and Bats Maru in there.
Woohoo! No, I haven't seen the new trailer.
Yes,
no.
So there is a small cameo.
Every single trailer we saw today were the
except
exact
for one.
Same. Except for one. There was one, the one about...
Quantum Leap.
It was Quantum Leap for teenagers.
Yeah.
Is what it was. It was the... What was it called? Every Day? Was that the name of the movie? With the pink song in the trailer? And
what?
Like, yeah, it's like, every day I'm waking up in a different body and I'm falling in love with you. It looked like some teenage movie.
Yeah.
But like, the main character was all these different people that was... Yeah, it was the most interesting out of all the trailers.
I liked the one about...
But I also fucking love Pink, and I love that song. Like, that song is so good.
Yeah, I want to see that one. I kind of want to see the black comedy, though.
Yeah, and then we see all these other trailers. And what's the other one that we saw twice now with the... It's like Charlie and the Horse or something. I leaned over and I whispered... Pick up Pete. I leaned over and I whispered in Jamie's ear, you know he's going to fuck that horse. Because the whole trailer is like, I'm going to take
I
love you. I'm going to take this horse. I'm going to leave.
Yeah, but you know what my reply was?
Steve Buscemi's randomly in it too.
Catherine the Great, horse. He ain't.
No, Steve Buscemi, unfortunately, is not the horse. The horse is not, it's not a Mr. Ed thing going on. It's supposed to be like a legit movie that I suppose maybe will give some people feels.
It's
but
just like, was it like, I go on the Netflix now and the first two things that greet me as we enter into the kids section is two abominations to the cinema. Number one, the Emoji Movie. And number two, who the fuck asked for this fucking remake? But Woody Woodpecker.
Why?
The CG animated, CG live action Woody Woodpecker movie. I'm like,
no.
God, no. No, why? No. Thankfully, my kids are smart and do not want to watch either one of those.
All right, anyway. That's the second time we've become a movie podcast tonight. We're starting to creep on Critical Myth turf here at the Voice of Geeks Network. All right. Anyhow, let's get into some rapid fire news. Back into some games. Loki.
So this is kind of cool because I've been playing a little bit of Stardew Valley, but they are going to be adding multiplayer soon, and they announced that they're going to be doing a beta for said multiplayer in the spring. So basically, it'll give us more details as it gets closer to that, but it is something that's coming. But they did post a picture of, you know, kind of some of the screenshots from that multiplayer add-on expansion or whatever. And, of course, it shows two houses. Or as opposed, you know, to the one house. So that's kind of cool. I'm be kind of interested to see how that plays out, or if it's going to be like you have to play at the same time, or is it like, you know, you can keep visit like Animal Crossing where you can keep visiting back to the same world type thing.
That'll do wonders for streaming too. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, like people kind of doing that together. So Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how much that's going to really add to the game, but I'm hopefully they're going to add more content to the game along with the multiplayer, so we'll see. And then, of course, this is exciting news regarding Dance Rush. Round 1 has basically said that they're going to be bringing it to the U.S. in their locations, so that's pretty awesome. It's starting this summer.
We'll have to drive all the way to Concord to play that. Although soon, did you guys hear this? They have announced the upcoming Round 1 openings. Later this year, they're going to be opening one in Hayward at the mall there. And I don't know if you guys have heard this. In the fourth quarter of 2019, Roseville is getting a round one.
Yes.
That was confirmed. So pretty cool. There'll be one in our neighborhood.
So where's the Concord one? Is that the mall there?
The Concord one is at Sun Valley Mall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what store it used to be because I don't – that's not my – and they say this new one is going in at the Galleria, but the Galleria doesn't have any open space that I know of in the mall. Unless some big store closed there that I can't think of, but I don't think the Galleria has like there's no like Sears there that went under or anything. Like the Sears there is still open.
Yeah, it's still open.
And yeah, but across the street from the Galleria, there's that big open lot that used to be the furniture store that they do the haunted houses in every October. Mm-hmm. I bet that's it. That's big enough to be around one.
But that's kind of a long time for that to sit empty. I mean, you know, that. I would be surprised.
Well, not if they're going to have to do makeovers on the building to make it work. They're going to put a bowling alley in there, and you know maybe there's already an agreement for Halloween of this year that they have to see through or something. Who knows? I don't know.
But yeah, so it'll be coming out starting this summer, so that's going to be pretty exciting. And
just real quick, I'm sorry, JD has put the list in chat. There are more round ones opening besides just in our neighborhood. Like I saw, like there's a new one in Ohio somewhere, and there's. There's others opening across the country, so you should check and see if you're on the list because, you know, again, they're not paying us to make this plug, but, I mean, round one is bringing, like, old-school arcades back, and especially with the types of games that flat-out interest me, you know, the Japanese imports, so I support it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to be excited because by the time it does get in our neighborhood, I'll be actually in shape enough to be able to play them again.
Maybe I will be too. We'll see. Of course, as I sit here, I down my third glass of wine.
But yeah, so like the final name of the game now is Dance Rush Stardom is the full title that they have now. And so there's some additional information regarding Dance Rush Stardom, including talking about that they have now language selection in there as well. So they have Japanese, English, Korean, traditional Chinese, or simplified Chinese are options you can choose for the menu, which is kind of nice so that they can put it out, you know, internationally. And then they have, of course, you know, the different modes you can do. So you have your basic mode and your premium mode. The premium mode, of course, if you've seen it online, there's some YouTube videos out there, will basically record you playing the game. So you can actually upload that as well to the internet for all to enjoy. So there's that. They show a little bit of the lesson mode that's available in the game as well. And talking about songs that are in the game. So there's quite a few songs. They said there's going to be 50 at the North American launch. But you know, some of the ones I've heard so far, they had Wicked from Harmarju, I guess. And let's see, Without You, Oppress. I know that there's Gimme a Big Beat by Kors K. That's one I've been listening to in my car. Sakura Sunrise by Ryu Starr. They also have a remix of Butterfly in there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I've
heard that one.
That was pretty cool.
Starblitz.
Yeah.
I watched a double.
The group
double.
Of four?
Yeah.
Playing the Butterfly remix. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, Revolution by Bradio. And I don't know. It looks like just a really fun game. So they did, once again, 50 songs at launch, 4 songs added every month after that. And it's scheduled for release in March in Japan. So the U.S. will receive it in the summer.
Probably by summer.
I have awesome. To say, like, honestly, with all the, like, music games that have come out, this one has me kind of the most excited since, like, DDR. You know, like, I really want to try it. It looks like a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
I am very excited to see how this you know, looks when we come out. Because right now, I'm assuming, because this isn't obviously 50 songs that they're listing on here, so I'm wondering if between the now and then is where we're going to get the additional songs.
Yeah, this is probably just the test version list. There'll probably be more. We'll see. So maybe some old classics coming back. Who knows? Anyhow, meanwhile, if you are a user of GOG or Good Old Games, good news. And you use Steam, I should say. If you use both, some good news is that some more games got added to GOG Connect. If you don't remember what that is where as long as your Steam profile is public and you link the two together, you can import your Steam-owned games into your Good Old Games library. So they just added 11 more games, including Mountain Blade, Orwell, Tropico 4, AI Warcraft, Collection, Hunipop, Kim, Pirates Gold Plus, Tempest, The Sexy Brutal.
Hunipop?
Hunipop, I think is what it, or is it Hunipop?
Hunipop.
I thought it was just one N. Okay. Sorry about that. Then Hunipop. Tempest, Torchlight, which is the one that I had that I was able to import, and Unreal Tournament Game of the Year, which I know a lot of people own that one. So pretty cool. So if you haven't checked out that feature and you use GOG, you should get on that. In other news, how about Mega Man Legacy Collection for the Nintendo Switch? We knew it was coming because Capcom did announce they are going to make it happen when they finally put out that trailer for Mega Man 11, right? They announced that Mega Man Legacy would come to the Switch. But this is what's interesting. Apparently, the ESRB rated a game called Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2. So it sounds like the games are simply being bundled together. Which is great. I hope they just did one cart with both games. Why not?
Yeah.
And give the Switch owners a little something for having to wait. Or what'll probably really happen, I think, weren't these games like $20 a pop when they were on the PS4 marketplace and the Xbox marketplace? Yeah, it'll probably just be a $40 cartridge. Gotcha.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's hope not. Let's hope they maybe change that a little bit. We'll see, though. Darsagra, what do you have for us?
Oh, we have some stuff about Dragon Ball FighterZ, which I haven't gotten because I went ahead and bought, you know, the Battle for Azeroth for World of Warcraft, and I'm being frugal. But we do have the announcement of 2 DLC characters, and one of them is Bardock and Bururi, going in for even more fighting, but you can get them through the season pass that unlocks 8 additional characters for $34.99. And then in other news, there is a rumor about a kart racing that's going to be Sonic and Friends. More Sonic karting from Sumo Digital.
Somebody out there is playing a cruel joke on Orange Lounge Radio where we have a long-running gag of saying Sonic and all of his shitty friends. So somebody is actually making a karting title for Sonic and all of his shitty friends.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got some good friends. Mm. But really just Knuckles.
Yeah, the ones that weren't starring in the game, they're all pretty shitty. Now, if Sonic's shitty friends include Ooh La La and, you know, other Sega characters like the last Sonic Racing game that was actually pretty decent, you know, considering how long we had to wait for Mario Kart 8, like, was actually pretty decent what is it called? Sonic and Friend?
Sonic and Sega All-Stars
Sega,
Racing.
Yeah. That's it. Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing. That was rad. So if Sonic's friends are the same
and
Sega
Danica
stars...
Patrick.
Yeah, and Danica, yes, if Danica Patrick and Sonic are still tight, if they're still BFFs, then I'm okay with that.
You know what I want them to...
I fucking forgot Danica Patrick was in that.
You know what I want them to do with one of these games? We haven't had the Opa Opa in one of the racing games, and it should just be the Opa Opa in all of those modes. You know, instead of having little wheels, it's running around on its tiny little feet, and then when it's those aerial scenes, the little wings come out, or it's the big wing. Opa Opa should be a special unlock. Just saying. And when I was playing Phantasy Star Online, you better believe I had an Opa Opa mag.
Tiger Claw in chat says, Amy isn't one of Sonic's shitty friends since she was the part of Sonic CD. Well, in the words of Britney Spears, if you seek Amy.
And then they're also
she's also Sonic Adventure and in the comics, so whatever.
They keep adding new friends in the comics too. Like I saw one today, it was like Rough and Tumble or something like that. But yes.
All right. We're going to travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases. That's not rumor. That's fact until it gets delayed. Loki, what's coming out this week, hopefully?
All right. So this week, let's see. We've got Age of Empires Definitive Edition. That's on PC. Armored Warfare on PlayStation 4. We have Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time. That's on PC and PlayStation 4. Ooh, goody! Metal Gear Survive, the non-Kojima Metal Gear game.
I thought that game came out a fucking long time ago.
No, Metal Gear Survive is coming out this week on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Hokuto ga Gotoku on PlayStation 4. Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus on Nintendo Switch. This is awesome. Them's Fighting Herds on PC. Remember the game that was going to be a
Oh, yeah. Didn't that come up last week on the show? I thought it did.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I've been hearing about it on Twitter or something this week, so that's cool.
Yep. And then we've also got Past Cure on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan, the I'm sure incredible title of Metal Gear Survive is also coming out in Japan on February 21st. It's kind of a little bit earlier than the rest of the releases on the 22nd, including Senran Kagura Burst, Girls und Panzer Dream Tank Match, Kimi no Hitomi ni Hit Me in regular and limited edition, and then let's see. Azayaka na Irodori no Naka de Kimi Rashiku comes out as well. And then there's another game called Summer Lesson, which is like a 3-in-1 basic game. Yeah, that is all coming out as well. All that in Japan on the PlayStation 4 this week. The Vita seeing some of those releases too, including Vitamin X Destination, Tokimeki Restaurant, Project TriStars in like all sorts of different configurations, including a 5th anniversary box, and Harukanaru Toki no Naka de Ultimate in like 3 different configurations of limited editions and so forth. I don't think the Switch. Oh no, the Switch has one pretty big game this week. Rayman Legends gets a Japanese Switch release this week. That's pretty cool. So you can check that out. And let's see if the 3DS has anything. No, I think things are slowing down over there. So we'll go over to Europe with Dark Sakura.
On the 20th, we have The Station for Mac, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. On the 21st, Rad Rogers for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and SteamWorld Dig 2 for 3DS. On the 22nd, Metal Gear Survive on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and Past Cure for Xbox One.
All right. Welp, it's time to dive into the mailbag, because every week you guys send us emails, or sometimes you don't. But you send them to participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dar Sakura dives in the mailbag.
Who left this sticky stuff everywhere?
And finds an email. Sorry, I spilled the wine. Mm-hmm. And finds an email worth reading on the air. Do we
have
get any
one
week?
Email.
One email. All right, let's do it. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
Sorry again about the double mailbag submission 2 weeks ago. As I said in the second, I didn't see my first and my sent items. Just a quick thought here. I see the Nendoroid toy line is adding Mercy to their Overwatch collection to go with Tracer and Mei. I wonder if they'll do more of these, and if so, what the hell would a Roadhog Nendoroid look like? I sort of wish there were Animal Crossing figures in the line besides just Isabelle. Robert M. I would actually pay for one if I had a Crazy Red, which, by the way, I'm wearing my Crazy Red shirt tonight. It says... looks legit. Or seems legit, sorry.
What's a Nendoroid?
The little cute figures, the kind of chibi figures.
Not pop vinyls. It's
not
something
pops.
New.
They're expensive, number one.
Okay.
Where pops are like $12. These are like $60.
Yeah.
I'll find you one, because there's a Nendoroid Link that I kind of have my eye on. There's a Kirby as well. Mm-hmm. But I'll find you one and link it to you so you can see what they are.
Y'all will be happy to know I bought 2 more pop vinyls over the weekend, by the way. I already finished my Drag Race collection. That's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. But I found in a store a Liam and a Sarah Ryder so that Alan could finish off his Mass Effect Andromeda collection. So now he has all of them. So I did buy some pop vinyls. Because y'all know I love pop vinyls.
I need to get a Vetra because she's space waifu. Seriously, the playthrough I'm doing now on Andromeda, if I ever get back to it, is a Vetra romance. Because Turians. Wow.
Overwatch is huge, and if Blizzard licenses it, it doesn't matter what the toy company is, as long as they're putting out quality products, you'll probably see every Overwatch character at some point.
They're doing a Mr. Rogers.
Oh, a Funko? Pop. Sorry, I keep saying a Funko. A pop vinyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want it. And they're also doing, and I thought I linked it to you, I don't remember.
The Coming to America dolls?
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, God. They're doing everything. You know how I feel about it. I think the pop dolls, it's too much. We have too much. There's too many of them. I say that, and yet I have my Drag Race dolls and my Golden Girls dolls. So even I get sucked into it once in a while. JD says, are they not Funko Pops anymore? Oh, I keep calling them Pops because that's what it says in the box. You're right. They are Funko Pops. I'm three glasses in, y'all. Leave me alone. All right, is that it for emails?
Yes.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, let's go into some more news. Loki.
Everything old is new again. So guess what's coming back? That's right. Twitch plays
Pet
Pokemon.
Rocks. Oh. What?
So, no Pet Rocks.
You said everything old is new again.
I guess maybe not everything. Most things. So Twitch playing Pokemon. That's right. This time, there's a twist. Not only are they playing one Pokemon game, but they're playing another Pokemon game at the same time. So Pokemon Red and Blue are going on at the same time. And on top of that, there is even I don't even know what exactly this is, but there's a game of Pokemon Pinball being played at the very bottom of the screen as well. And I guess somehow you bet on that, and you can earn tokens to do things. So that's kind of neat. You know, like the other games, this is mainly looks like they do incorporate a democracy mode every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just whatever the other mode is, the direct controlling of everything. And I guess as of right now, it looks like I think Pokemon Red is ahead a little bit. But yeah, looks chaotic.
So meaning they've gotten a little further in Red than they have in Blue.
Yes. Red right now is stuck in the bushes, and the Blue is in a fight right now with a Slowbro. So
thank you for the play-by-play.
Good stuff. Oh, they got out of the bushes. Woohoo! All right. So yes, exciting stuff.
I'll take your word for it. All right. Hey, this is a follow-up to something we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it has to do with the Overwatch League. The Overwatch League is kind of between, I don't know, I call it seasons right now. I mean, but it's not like a whole new year. I don't know what you describe it. I guess they're saying stage is what they're stage one and stage two. So the Overwatch is kind of Overwatch League is on a little break for a couple weeks, and then they're going to come back with some more watches. Well, during these breaks, the teams in the league have a chance to draft some new players. And the Overwatch League did draft Kim Gaguri Se-yeon as part of a four-player addition. And that's the Shanghai Dragons that drafted her to their team. So it is official. The Overwatch League now does have one out of its 100-plus players is a woman. So, okay. I mean, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago.
It's a start.
Thanks for the token.
Yeah, it's a start. You know, and I said when they do that, I would applaud it. So I will applaud the Shanghai Dragons for taking this move.
I'm doing it. Orchestra applause.
Yeah.
Snap, snap, snap.
Yeah. It's a start, but, you know, and I actually got into a Twitter dialogue with somebody on this because I wrote a tweet about it, which got picked up in the moments thing on Twitter. So I started getting some rando replies on this stuff. And usually I try not to engage trolls, but I kind of felt like this response was mature enough where I could engage in a dialogue. So I went in a little bit of a back and forth with somebody, and this person kind of got to a point where it's like, well, how many would make you happy? Half, 30%? I'm like, it's not about a target number. But the reality is that when one out of hundreds is female, are you saying that 1% of the people that play Overwatch is female? Is that an accurate representation? You know what I mean? So just, I'm not saying they have to be like a target number, but as I said the first time we did this, it should be at least like 10%. Is that asking too much when half the population of the planet is female?
It should be 50%.
But at what level, though, like, are these the female players? And that it goes with male players, too. Like, what percentages of those are playing at that tournament level? That's what I want to know. Is because, like, you may have, like, half the base mm-hmm. is playing that, but maybe they're playing more casually than other people. And that could be
right.
male or female. Like, I don't play
right, but here's my little and you know I understand that you know the first thing people come back with is that well I only want the people that are the most talented and that do this and this. Who's being given that opportunity though? That's the question we really have to challenge ourselves with. Is well if we don't have women playing at that entry level that leads into the Overwatch League, then I think the real question we need to be asking ourselves is why. Why aren't there more women in the entry level when we know there's more women playing the game? Anyway, I don't want to repeat myself too much from a couple weeks ago. I do want to try to leave this on a net positive because, okay, yes, it's progress. You know, sure, I'd like to see progress happen overnight. But you know what? And Jamie, I think about something we saw today. You know, we were at the movie theater and there was a poster for some movie coming out and it said something like, love isn't always a straight path or something like that. I don't remember what the term on it was. But remember, I turned to you and I said, look at that. I pointed at the poster. I said, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, 17-year-old me would have never thought something like that would ever be in a movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, in Sacramento. And here we are. So, you know, I can be critical, but at the same time be a bit of a realist and say, you know, okay, this is a good step in the right direction. I hope we get there a little faster than 20 years, especially if we want esports to be taken seriously by everybody. But this is a good start, and I do think that should be acknowledged. I just hope, you know, we get there in a few years where you don't notice that there's way less women than men because it accurately reflects who's playing the game.
Or we get to
and same thing with other minority groups too. I'm spotlighting the women and men thing, but you know we're challenged in all these areas.
What I would like to get to a point is where the heart and minds of people have changed to the point that it won't matter if there's an inequality in something because it is truly based on merit, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
where it won't matter. But right now we need the representation because it's not, I mean, that's where we're getting all these angry, you know, straight white boys from, mm-hmm. you know, is that, The and I'm going to use the word patriarchy
mm-hmm.
is being threatened. The mm-hmm. status quo, their privilege is being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to get to the point where they need to just accept this is the world. And mm-hmm. when we get to that point of acceptance, none of this representation is going to be necessary because our hearts will already be in the right place. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And throughout this whole dialogue, I've never said fire the white dudes. I want Overwatch League to be successful, and if it's successful, guess what that means? More teams, more space for diverse and more addition and more, you know, representation, all that stuff. So you don't have to fire the dudes that are already there to make this happen, except maybe the dudes that talk a little mouthy on their Twitch, but those are exceptions to the rule. Many of the people in the Overwatch League are fabulous, and, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing negative to say. So, but anyway, long story short, I am officially a Shanghai Dragons fan. Woohoo!
Woo.
You know what? I don't care that they didn't win a match because, you know, their record is like zero. It's like no wins and all losses. And this is part of the reason why they're shifting their roster around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If I live in the town of the Sacramento Kings, I'm used to cheering for the losing team. So I am now officially a Shanghai Dragons fan. Go Dragons. All right. Jamie? Any interest in watching a Shanghai Dragons match at some point?
Maybe.
Yeah, it might be fun.
I don't know. Keep in mind how motion sick I get on Overwatch.
Well, the good news is when you're watching the league, they're changing things so fast that you're looking at like overhead maps, and you're looking at the arena. Like I don't think you have enough time to really be immersed in the first person stuff. So Anyhow.
I felt so sick playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dark Tetsuya with a great comment, and I think we'll close on this, and we'll move on to some other Overwatch stuff. Dark Tetsuya says, I mean, look at the cast of characters in Overwatch anyway. I'd hope that the pro leagues would reflect that as well. Yeah, Blizzard. Blizzard, like, the best part of Overwatch is the characters. And, like, it's not, and the thing is, it's not just that they are diverse. It's that they are diverse with awesome fucking stories. Like, there's, like, all the characters are awesome in Overwatch. Somebody has written a fanfic of all of those characters having sex. That's how beloved those characters
not
in Overwatch
just written,
are.
Probably animated.
Drawn and performed in some circles.
I just,
at some anime convention.
I just wish that there were more punitive steps that could be taken against, you know, these really toxic little boys. Because I can't think of them as men because they're just toxic little boys who have to shit on a girl who's playing better than them.
Right.
Or make it hard for women to go in because it's their little boys' club. Fuck your boys' club. Fuck you. Your tongue should be cut out.
SS2100 Matt in chat says, I know plenty of women who play Overwatch that get heckled in competitive mode by immature shits. That is the problem at the lowest level.
Because they're the lowest type of people.
No, it's not that. But that is the most entry-level problem that has to be solved to fix what's happening here at the top. The answer to where are all the other women that are awesome at Overwatch? The answer to that question starts with addressing that comment. And that's what this all boils down to. Anyway.
That was actually what spawned my phrase about needing more punitive measures. Just because they're not going to learn on their own. And clearly their parents didn't teach them how to respect women. Mm-hmm. Or else they wouldn't be, you know, little shits like this. They need to be held accountable. There needs to be at least a way that you can block a channel from somebody or something like that. Because, I mean, that's half the reason why I don't play in group chats. Mm-hmm. I play on my own and rely on text chat in game. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not my friends, I don't trust what they're going to say. And I honestly don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. ActEft in chat says, what if I want to beat that woman in the game, but because I want to be better in the game? Great. You know, but there's
you don't have to talk down to her.
Yeah, there's a difference between that. That's the difference between sportsmanlike conduct and unsportsmanlike conduct. Here's an example that I can think of to kind of relate this to things that I do on a regular basis. Ingress, right? I play that a lot. My frenemy here in the neighborhood is, you know, that plays on the other team is a woman, you know, and I have no problem tearing down her fields and breaking her shit just before checkpoint to, you know, make the score hurt or whatever, or make sure that, you know, her team's color isn't over my house and stuff like that, because that, at the end of the day, is the game. But I respect that she's playing the game, and I don't send her nasty messages like, you know, stupid lady, get back in the kitchen and all this. I don't talk to her like that. You know, that's unsportsmanlike. Whereas sportsmanlike is a little more like, you know, close but no cigar, you know, type of things like, you know, or, you know, sometimes she gets a field off because I'm not paying attention. And, you know, oh, good
maybe
job.
Maybe if you weren't in the kitchen, we're out here blocking your...
Yeah. Good job, wrong color, LOL. You know, it's
yeah.
All
well,
it is.
It just makes me think of, and I had to go look up the name of it again. In the Olympics, you know, they have the Pierre de Coubertin medal. You know what that is, right?
Like the Miss Congeniality medal.
Not quite. It's for good sportsmanship. So,
close.
Like, for one example.
Yay, fan favorite.
Well, here's an example that, like, in 1964, there was a team whose bobsled missed a bolt. So after they had their run, this other team loaned a bolt to their bobsled, and the other team won. But and he flat out said they didn't win because they gave them the bolt. They won because they were faster. But that team still won. Though that the leader of that team still won the de Coubertin award. So, you know, and it's the same thing. We should be lifting each other up. We should be encouraging each other and being a team. And it makes the whole game more fun. And I'm not saying don't talk a little smack in the game, you know, like, oh, I got you now, you know, but don't be a shit. Just don't be a shit.
Yeah. And recognize when you're crossing a line. You know what I mean? Anyway, okay, we've talked. I ended this segment like three times already. We are really moving on to the next story, but it is also about Overwatch, kinda, right, Jamie?
Yeah, it is about a fan project that has made some adjustments to Overwatch. So basically, they've turned Overwatch into a fighting game, and I mean, complete with finishers and all kinds of things like that. It was, I'm trying to see who did it. Hold on just a second. Looks like it, TGN. They looks like they made a video of Overwatch as a fighting game. And so it's pretty neat. I mean, honestly, if Overwatch was a fighting game, I'd play it. But yeah, it's this Overwatch fighter, and I'll send the link into the chat. It's on YouTube, but just look up "What if Overwatch was a fighter?" It's pretty fun. And that's it, really.
All right, just a couple more stories for you guys. Then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But first, Loki.
You know what The Sims was missing? Drugs.
No, it's not. You can mod it in.
Exactly my point. You can mod it in. Thank
I don't
you.
Think I don't think Jamie's comment got on the mic. I don't know, but anyway.
Oh, I said yeah, you can mod it in. There's all sorts of stuff already modded into The Sims.
Yes, and one of those mods is a mod by the name of Base Mental, and it's a drug theme mod for Sims 4. You can do different drugs, including cocaine, MDMA, amphetamines, and weed. And you can also buy and sell and use different drugs. And they have, like, even a drug dealer that's in your neighborhood that's an NPC. And then, of course, if you also are using another mod by a modder named Wicked Whims, which is a comprehensive sex mod for Sims 4, you can exchange sex for drugs.
Suddenly, The Sims became a lot more interesting.
Suddenly.
But this guy, the guy that actually makes this, he has a Patreon, and he's actually being funded almost $6,000 a month to work on this. So people are interested in the
maybe
drug
I list. Need to reconsider my thoughts on Patreon, because clearly I'm missing it.
They had mods like this even in the first Sims. I actually still have some mods in Sims 2. They came with their own animations. Fun.
Remember The Sims Online, everybody?
Speaking that, I have to say, based on the screenshots that I'm seeing here, that sex mod is quite comprehensive in an almost disturbing fashion. Yeah, I think what? I don't even know what I'm seeing here. This is just weird. Okay, anyways, enough of that. But yes, The Sims 4, it's a silly place. Tis a silly place.
Tis a silly
place. Let's not go back there.
All right.
It's only a model.
All right, and lastly, but certainly not leastly tonight, Valve has actually banned a developer off of Steam. And why did they do it? Because of essentially forced reviews that were, you know, you could view this as fake. Incel Games was the name of the developer. They are from Malta, developing various online multiplayer titles. They have been banned from Steam. This story comes from a Redditor who posted a leaked email from Incel Games CEO encouraging employees to buy copies of the reimbursed Wild Buster, I think was the game, to leave a Steam review. And the email said in part, quote, "Of course I cannot force you to write a review, let alone tell you what to write, but I should not have to. Neglecting the importance of reviews will ultimately cost jobs. If this game fails, Incel fails, and then we will all have no jobs next year."
Get what you reap what you sow.
So, well, I feel bad for all the other employees who aren't the CEO, because now they're fucked, and it's their CEO, you know, was a dumb fuck. But anyway, Valve said it investigated the claims that were put on Reddit and identified unacceptable behavior involving multiple Steam accounts controlled by the publisher of the game. The publisher appears to have used multiple Steam accounts to post positive reviews for their own games. This is a clear violation of our review policy and something we take very seriously. Obviously, Incel Games is not like this huge, you know, developer, but, you know, it still is certainly a precedent of sorts, and hopefully other companies won't make the same mistake. Incel Games did release a statement talking about this. saying at the day of launch in December, an email was sent to everyone in the company telling staff, about 20 people, including freelancers, how important reviews are in the Steam ecosystem. It was meant to rally support. It was never intended to threaten anyone, but just state the importance of reviews for the whole company. No staff has received penalties for not buying the game. We apologize for the misleading wording, blah, 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 blah. I'm skipping ahead here. We hope to regain the trust of players and are in further discussion with Steam about the incident. Until then, current Steam owners or those in possession of a Steam key continue to play normally, but it's just no longer available on the store. What do you guys think about that? Is that a good thing that Valve smacked that down, or is it just kind of one of those, it really doesn't matter anyway?
Yes, it is a good thing that they smacked it down. I don't care what their excuse is. So,
and it is one of those things where it's like, if it's obvious how important the reviews are, then you don't really need to say anything at all, right? Or, you know, don't go leaving all these fake reviews.
So I said, you reap what you sow.
All right. Anyhow, we're going to open up the Skype line, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe something else is on your mind, the Skype line is open now while we wait for a call. I'm going to check in to see if there's any last minute stories.
I don't really have anything too much. I mean, there's a new Barbie doll that's based off Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay. That's kind of interesting. So that's probably new, for the movie.
Yeah. So yeah. Tomb Raider Barbie is going to be $30. Actually, you can pre-order now. And yeah, she's not having a terrible day just yet, but if
in the wrong hands, she might.
She could, yeah.
All right. We got a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Everyone, gather around, have a drink, have a shot, because it's Ronman, you know it.
I've already had a few drinks, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Rama. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just finished making dinner in my amazing Instant Pot. I love that little thing.
Sounds delish. I can't wait for dinner around here, but we got to get through this show first. What's on your mind tonight?
All right. I want to talk about crowdfunding, Patreon, all of that. Now, I've already called in about this a couple of months ago. Y'all know how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, people have been coming to me for advice on podcasting, streaming, and so forth. And the main piece of advice I tell people is, unless you have major financial backing behind you, just do it for the fun of it. Just roll with it. You'll have one listener, one streamer. You could have tens, hundreds of streamers. It's going to fluctuate up and down. As long as you get out there, roll with it, have fun with it, it's going to be okay. And then it goes to, what about all the equipment that you get? And I say, I pay out of pocket for it because this is something I want to do. This is something that's fun. And then it goes to, what about putting yourself out there for sponsorship and stuff? And I'm like, truthfully, most people are not going to pay to hear me foam at the mouth about what's wrong with the cosplay and anime communities and the fandom such in a whole. So
you're right. You have to have an angle. You know, you got to think about, and I say this a lot to people that are, you know, I don't want to discourage anyone from podcasting, but people that want to, you know, be successful, you know, with a podcast, think of what is that quick 30-second elevator pitch about your show? Can you condense that into one tagline like they do with a movie? What's the tagline to kind of sell your show? That's one big thing I really stress people to do with their show. And don't, and here's my, like the truth hurts, but a real friend's going to tell you this.
Yeah.
If your podcast tagline is just some friends sitting around talking shit about games, cancel your podcast immediately.
Well, I will say that there are probably a couple of people who are running with that tagline, and probably because how they're doing their show, they can get away with it. But just because they're doing it, that doesn't mean you have to. And also, just because there are a bunch of people talking about this particular fandom or this or that, that's not stopping you. You can go ahead and talk about it. Yes, there are multiple podcasts out there about anime, cosplay, whatever. But mm-hmm. We talk about it from a different point of view. We're local to a particular area. So how we talk and discuss how things are could be different from a bunch of fans doing it from California. We have sort of like a sister podcast called Zero Hour, similar mm-hmm. to us. But they're based out of California. Their experiences are different from ours. And we're out in New York. and they don't do the Patreon. They pay out of pocket like we do. Now, they have this thing called Ko-Fi. You know, if you like us, buy us a cup of coffee. That I can get with. You don't have to make promises or anything like that. It's a tip jar. You like us, buy us a cup of coffee.
I kind
of
like that, you know, because that's similar to the Twitch model. Show me your bitties. If you like, you know, me playing the game, show me your bitties.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and the only thing, and the thing I wanted to, you know, make sure I'm clarified with my statement, because I would never tell anyone not to podcast. But the reason why I say if your tagline is four people talking shit about video games or whatever it is, and why just don't fucking do that show, is because in part of what you said is that there's already a bunch of shows that are doing that angle. But at the same time, like, if your podcast is a fan podcast, then sitting around talking shit does not make you that great of a fan. There's a difference between being critical and talking shit. That's why I don't give the podcast Critical Myth any blowback, because there's nothing wrong with taking a critical eye to fandom. But that's very, very different than talking shit. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Yeah. So if that's, I mean, that's why I think a tagline like sitting around talking shit is kind of a lazy tagline. And then the other one that I'm just, again, honest truth, it's like The View, but with gay guys. Don't. Be only because that one isn't so bad in the fact of like what you're, but it's just that's like every show with several gay co-hosts. If it's The View with gay guy. No, I'm going to need something. I'm going to need a more specific answer.
See, that reminds me of a question.
I'm sorry. What was that, Rama? You got cut out there.
Sorry. That reminds me of a question.
Yeah.
I need to know, is Shaking and Crying the spiritual successor to Guys on the Show?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
It is not. No, because Guys on a Show is on hiatus. It is not over. You know, just Extra and Victoria are two different people. And I've just really tried to kind of give the show sort of a different flow to it. I think it kind of feels like a successor because, it's Rob's non-gaming show. But there's room for both in the world if it ever works out that Extra and I can do a show again.
Fair enough, because I'm looking forward to that, too.
Mm-hmm. And then Bobby's disagreeing with me in chat, saying, no, Rob, I was told that negativity is funny. People who are positive are boring. You have to be negative to be entertaining and funny. I got this lecture last year. And why everyone loves Loki rants, they're funny. Okay, but, and I'm almost positive I said this to you then, the thing with the Loki rants is, again, I go back to my Tyra Banks top model things. Do you like Nintendo games, Loki?
Sure.
See, that's the difference there, is that, you know, at the end of the day, Loki gets frustrated because he sees Nintendo as like should be kind of grabbing on all the latest and greatest technologies, and I see all these other companies doing these things, and why not? And that's kind of different than like I fucking hate Nintendo, and Nintendo, everybody there is, you know, sucking 20 dicks and like all this stupid stuff.
Well, that would explain why they're too busy to get networking working.
Some
right?
People do like sucking that much dick, I'm just saying.
But anyway, that's the difference. And I realize there's other people out there saying something different. I disagree, and those negative shows are things I don't want to watch, and I don't watch that YouTube channel you cited. But, you know, what do I know? I've had this podcast for 15 years and we don't have squatty potty advertisements, so maybe I've got it all wrong, but I like to think at the end of the day I'm doing a good thing.
Well, I think you're doing a good thing too, because if it wasn't for your show, I wouldn't have my podcast, and I wouldn't have like two other spinoff shows that I've been working on. One of the podcasts we do, we talk about, yeah, we kind of go into a negative aspect because we feel our opinions on whatever it is, no one hears it. So we just go out there. It's like, well, if 85% of the people say this is great and we're at 15% that says, no, this is trash, we're going to tell you why. It's like, okay, now you're going to kind of listen and be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah. And to be fair, Bobby points out in chat, I was setting you up. This is the setup, and then Rob hits it over the net. You did tell me this in person. Bobby, I'm three drinks in. I'm a little slow tonight. Sorry. But thank you for the setup. Anyway, and I agree with what Akuma JP is saying. I think you say it very succinctly here. If you do it just because negative, then no. And that's the difference. If you're doing a show to be negative, No, don't do it. Or if, do a show about something you do like. That's all. Anyway, good times with soapboxes, Rama.
Well, I try.
All right. I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in some more calls. But take care and, of course, support indie radio such as Anime Jam Session, Tuesday nights here at VOG.
That's right.
All right. Take care.
9:15. Remember, pre-show's 9:15. We go live at 9:30.
Okay, fair enough. Take care, my friend.
Take care, bro.
All right, bye. Phones are lighting up tonight. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kaijuno. You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Long time. What's up, Kaijuno?
All right, good. Not much. I'm using this little little microphone, so I wasn't sure you could hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I just wanted to point something out real quickly, and then I'll let you guys get to some more calls. You mentioned that Nintendo's looking for like a Wii Sports for VR, and I just want to tell you, Rec Room is like the Wii Sports for VR. That thing is so much fun. It's a free game, so maybe that's why people aren't really taking that much notice to it. But I mean, this thing is fun. I mean, you're playing laser tag in there. You're playing paintball. They have a room for charades, which is freaking hilarious. When you play charades, you're actually using like a, I don't know what you would call it. It's like this type of gun that you have that like squirts out this foam. So like you're drawing things in like the third dimension.
Like penises.
Which is like really hilarious.
Of course.
And the only game I would say that doesn't work in it is that they have like some type of soccer game that I don't know what the hell I'm doing in that game. But they have dodgeball. They got. They also have like some little RPG stuff you can go do in there, where they have a thing where you know, it's like a, I guess it's like a four-man RP group, and you're like going through this room, and you're like, you know, somebody has a sword, somebody has a bow and arrow, and you're like fighting these monsters. They have a pirate ship thing coming up where you're gonna be. It's gonna have like a pirate theme. I mean, they're just knocking out the park with this game. I mean, there's so much in this game. A lot. And it's a community game, so it's social. Everyone's talking. Everyone's having fun.
I appreciate what you're doing here with the recommendation, and it does sound like it's an awesome game. But to go back with the whole thing about, you know, why I brought up Wii Sports in particular, it's not quite that literal where it's, you know, the collection of mini games and so forth. It's more that, like, the Wii Sports was the app. It was the thing that really showed off why you would swing around and flail in your own home and why you needed specifically the Wii and not, you know, PlayStation 3 and not Xbox 360. You needed a Wii because that was the only way you were going to actually swing that tennis racket into your hand. And so many people who bought the Wii, they weren't buying the Wii as much as they were buying Wii Sports in a very similar way in some ways that many people who bought the Switch weren't just buying the Switch. They were buying Breath of the Wild. And I put your pens and notepads down, because I completely understand that Breath of the Wild was also on Wii U. But for so many people that skipped the Wii U and kind of never really understood that it was separate from the Wii and all that stuff, like Breath of the Wild was really a breath of fresh air in many ways for Zelda fans. And the fact that you could do it portable and everything, like that's what people were buying. So what VR needs is it needs whatever.
Well, wait. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do have another point to make. That.
Yeah.
Go ahead. All right, I'll make it now. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying about, you know, like why, you know, it's like it's not necessarily the sports aspect of the game that brought people into it. It's just that it kind of demonstrated like all the things you can do on the Wii, and that's exactly what Rec Room does. Like it,
okay.
You know, it's not so much that, you know, it's comparison with the Wii Sports because they have sports games in it. It's just that it kind of demos like all the possibilities you can have in VR, you know, the social, you know, being in a room with like, I guess I think it's like maybe 10 people can fit in a room. So it's like 10 of you inside of a Rec Room. They also have like private rooms that you can like create your own room. They have some type of new logic system that they just created where it's kind of like a take on the Labo thing from Nintendo, where like you can like make things within the world now and just, you know, kind of make your own little mini games and little robots and crap. And I mean, it's just so much. So like it, like I said, it kind of just demonstrates every possible thing you can do in VR, and you just have like a good old time with it. So I still think it is that app that everyone's looking for to make them buy VR. Only thing is, you know, if somebody's like a graphic junkie, you know, they may run away from it because it's not the prettiest game in the world. But if you can overlook that, I mean, you're in for a treat because this one of the best games I ever played.
All right, so fair enough. Maybe it's not the mascot game now, but maybe people should give it another look, and it should be. I can respect that angle.
Yeah, definitely right. Good. So I'm going to let you get through some calls, and a great show as always.
Thank you.
And you take it easy with the alcohol over there.
All right, I'm trying to – I cut myself off for the evening just in case I need to go out later. I'm cut off for now. So thank you, my friend. Take care.
All right, bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. I saw some other calls trying to get in, so go ahead and try to give us a call. There it is, lighting up again. Some weeks I'm begging for phone calls. Some weeks it's ringing off the hook. Here, ooh, excuse me. Hello. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ACDeft.
Hey, ACDeft. What's up, buddy?
Well, I wanted to call last week, but I couldn't. It was kind of late. And I forgot to make an email about this, but about the Evil lineup that was announced last week.
Oh, yeah. We got to that in, like, rapid-fire news, and there was a lot of people – well, I don't know about a lot, but certainly people noticed that Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was not there.
Yeah, but that was kind of expected because the game isn't doing that great. Even the community isn't playing that much, and the competitive scene for that is kind of dead. But – I don't want to talk about necessarily Marvel, but Smash Brothers Melee.
Oh, okay. What's on your mind?
That game needs to die. Like, seriously, needs to die.
So you're not a fan of the game still showing up, even though we're now on, what, Smash Brothers for 3DS and Wii U, and probably, honestly, there's a real good chance at E3 this year we're going to see something about Smash Brothers on the Switch, and they'll still be playing it on the GameCube.
Yeah, I don't know. I moved on from Melee, like, really, really long time ago, especially because the Smash for Wii U and 3DS, it's, like, really good. It's, like, the best Smash up to date. But the thing with Smash Melee is I don't know how the competitive scenes managed to keep, like, even growing, because it has grown in the last few years and managed to get that tons of views. Even despite the game, like, getting really boring, really stale, because you see the same characters, basically. Aside from, like, someone like Hungrybox or other people like... I'm trying to remember someone, but someone that uses Ice Climbers, or even Armada that switches from Fox to Peach.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the fact that Twitch is around now, and it wasn't around when the GameCube was first out, like, maybe that is kind of lending itself to why, you know, what's old is new again, in a way, but who knows how long that wave's going to last. But... you know, ACDeft, there's many people that just suspect that whatever we're getting on the Switch is just going to be the Wii U Smash Brothers with some tweaks. But what if the joke is, ACDeft, that it's Super Smash Brothers Melee for Switch?
Shut up.
That's okay. They'll never do backwards compatibility. So,
thank God for that.
I love when the listeners tell me to shut up.
Oh, Rob.
Well, then what's the point of me talking? No, but that would be... I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
No, but seriously, even with Twitch or without it, you see in the local competitive scenes in many places that Melee is the one that pretty much has the people. And again, despite the game, like, getting really boring, like, seriously, if you have... paid attention to, like, the latest or the last few tournaments, like, really big tournaments, and for that game, it's like almost every single people uses the same character, which is Fox, because it is obviously the best character because it's really broken. But that makes the game, like, really boring to see or to watch, which it's kind of what happened to Marvel versus Capcom 3. Because the game was also getting really boring. And last year, even, the game wasn't even supposed to be on Evo, but because of donations and something that they did the donations thing for like 9 games, and the one who or the community who donated the most had their game on Evo, and only because of that, because even like it was close to losing to Pokken last year, like $1,000 short. But with Melee, the only thing that justifies it is because it gets the views, it even more than Street Fighter V, which is the main tournament at Evo. It gains more viewers, and again, I don't know why. I pretty much promised myself that I wouldn't watch the Melee tournament, even the top eight, because I really don't want to support that game anymore. I want for the community as a whole, the Smash Bros. Community, not Melee, not Smash 4, Brawl, whatever. I want the community as a whole to grow, and that's the thing. That the Smash 4 is getting stale too, because many people are dropping it or are moving to other stuff. So I would rather for the people to the community to, okay, let's move to this game, which is the most recent, and just wait for Nintendo to announce the Switch one. So that's probably going to come at least an announcement this year, like you said. But again, I really want this year to be the last one I see Melee on Evo's roster, because it really, really needs to die.
At the end of the day, ACTEFT, at the end of the day, honestly, like, some things just can't be explained. And it may also be part of that same phenomenon as to why did we bring back Will and Grace and the X-Files and Roseanne and like all these shows of the 90s? Are all of a sudden coming back, and you know, some are just as good as they were, like Twin Peaks I thought was just as good as it ever was. Some are not quite as good as they were, you know what I mean? Maybe it's something to do when it comes to Melee about like, this is the game I grew up on, this is my comfort zone, and I don't like new, I don't like change. And so maybe some people just have a hard time like letting that go.
And I know that because it's Nintendo, and they also like they pretty much use nostalgia for it, and again, while I get mad at a Melee HD remake, I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo like does something like that. I wouldn't mind it either if they actually like balance it and make it actually better. But if they make the same game, if it stays the same, why bother? Like, really, why bother?
Well, maybe there's some SG100 Matt in chat says, let's see if ACT gets hate mail in the mailbag. Let's see. Let's see. If you are still a fond fan of Melee, tell us about why this game still deserves its time in the spotlight. Send us an email. We'd love to read it on air. So, well, ACTEF, for now, I'm going to let you go. But I appreciate your passionate opinions.
Hey, thanks for having me, like always.
Thank you. Take care, buddy. Kaijudo in chat says, it's not official 90s until they bring back Martin. I heard they were. I heard Martin was coming back. Wasn't that supposed to be like a thing?
I haven't heard that.
I thought for sure I heard somewhere that Martin...
And I'm sure as hell not watching Roseanne.
Yeah, Roseanne kind of...
Unfortunately,
although
I'm gonna
God, Aunt Jackie was so good in that movie.
I'm going to have to watch it because my wife adores Roseanne and... So, you know.
Yeah, but she knows Roseanne's gone a little, you know, cuckoo in the past few years, right?
No.
Having her as a dump supporter.
So it's just, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Ramos in chat says it is coming back. That's what I thought I heard, that Martin was coming back. Can you believe that? No, I say it isn't the 90s until In Living Color comes back.
I was
back.
Just going to say, then why don't we bring back In Living Color?
If you want to talk about the definitive Fox television program.
That shit was awesome.
From the 90s, it was In Living Color. But then... Would it be all this? Oh my God! Can you imagine if they could get like Jim Carrey and all the Wayans family and like all of them back?
Not so much Jim Carrey, but like what the hell are the Wayans doing?
Why not get Jim Carrey? Like if it is a super limited like 4-episode, 6-episode thing, why the fuck not get Jim Carrey?
I bet like he's eccentric now and just like kind
you
of
think.
Yeah,
he could do like one.
I would
sketch.
Love to see that, but
we just need him to bring back Vera.
Have him do Fire Marshal Bill or Vera like one time, and that's all you need. Like, and then they put his name on it, and at
but
least
like,
he's a part of it.
They couldn't do like half the sketches that they did before because they're so like
quote-unquote offensive nowadays, like
handyman. I would still laugh at men on film. That shit was funny. I'm
yes,
sorry.
That was funny.
I would still laugh. But you're right. Like, humor has changed a bit. So they might have to write the show a different way, but I bet it would still be funny. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe some things are best left in the past.
You bring back Mad TV while we're at it, I guess.
Oh, Kaishudo in chat says, Wayans Brothers were pushed out. I'm sure they can't bring it back because someone else owns it. That's right, because wasn't like the last season of In Living Color was like kind of a shadow of its former self? Like, didn't it kind of...
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there were some problems towards the end, but most of us don't remember that because we stopped watching In Living Color after like four years or so. So, Tiger Claw in chat says, Jamie Foxx is Wanda. Remember those skits? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna rock your world. And homie,
hey, Mon.
Homie the Clown, hey, Mon. God, that was some classic television. Yeah. Of course, I also have a lot of love for Saturday Night Live, you know, especially in those same years where, like you know, Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, like all those, you know.
The 1994 era.
Oh, yeah. When Phil Hartman, rest in peace, like, you know, just some of the most amazing performers. So the 90s were a great time for comedy. But who knows? Maybe there's a caller into some comedy podcast out there that's like, get over the 90s comedy. It wasn't that funny. Who knows? I don't know. I'll put out one more shout out for the call-in line, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to call in and say hello to us. JD in chat says, I remember Full House, but that's already come back. Yeah, God, they're on like fourth or fifth season of that Fuller House. Netflix sure changed the game, didn't it?
Still don't know if I want to watch it.
It's Fuller House?
Just because... Candace Cameron.
Well, if you could just kind of like, you know, like realize she's already been paid for it and it's not going to change anything. It's one of those things where it's like, if you know exactly what you're signing up to watch, and that is a cheesy fucking TGIF comedy, because those shows were so stupid.
They were.
But like, they were so stupid, they were funny. And that's exactly what like Fuller House is it kind of maintains that same level of comedy. So, now the one Netflix show I hear is really good that I had no interest in watching because I was like, why do you reboot this show? But apparently One Day at a Time, everybody tells me, is amazing on Netflix.
Oh, huh. I didn't even know they were doing that one back.
Yeah, they did, except they reimagined it as I believe it's an all Latino family this time.
Huh.
So, but yeah, and that was a show that was on, like, I remember it on like Nickelodeon at night. Because or one of those, like, maybe syndicated on Channel 58 or one of those networks before they were the WB and that stuff, like during the day, because like those shows were on like the early 70s, right? One Day at a Time.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that original one was like on in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And it had Valerie Bertinelli in it.
That's right, it was Valerie Bertinelli's show.
Yeah.
Because then Valerie Bertinelli went on to do Valerie's Family. Right. Mm-hmm. She got her own show with Valerie's Family. And then there was like a fight between her and the producers and they fucking killed her character.
Mackenzie Phillips.
And
was
renamed
the
show The Hogan Family.
I remember.
Yeah. With Sandy Duncan. And then the show kind of really took off. Most people remember that show as The Hogan Family, not as Valerie's Family.
But I had forgotten that Mackenzie Phillips was also in it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One Day at a Time. Wasn't that a what's his name? That
Bonnie Franklin was the mom. And she's dead.
That ultra famous producer of all those fucking shows. Like,
hold on.
Oh,
I'll
my
look
God.
It up.
Those were the days. All in the Family.
All in the Family. Was done by, crap. I just had Norman Lear.
Norman Lear. Thank God. I'm like, you're killing me, Smalls. No, I couldn't remember either. Norman Lear did One Day at a Time, right?
Yeah.
I think he's doing this new one. Too.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think he was on another podcast promoting it, and that's how I heard that it was happening.
Yeah, so. But one thing I've always liked about Norman Lear's shows is that he tackled massive social issues.
Yeah.
And was really progressive.
But you want to talk about something, Loki, that would be really offensive by today's terms. Go back and look at All in the Family.
Yes.
Holy shit. Like, but that...
But a lot of the show was challenging Archie's, you know...
Yeah.
Prejudices.
Yeah, yeah. Without All in the Family, we wouldn't have had Maude.
Yeah. Well, Bea Arthur is a... Well, no, she's literally a goddess now. Ascended to the heavens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hope Bea Arthur is watching over us now.
And I'm sorry, I'm on my wine break. Boom.
Okay, all right.
We know what movie that's from, right? History of the World.
Oh, of course, of course.
Because she played the unemployment lady.
I couldn't remember if it was that or one of the other Mel Brooks movies. I'm three glasses in. It's all a blur. All right. Anyway, nobody else is calling in on Skype, so I think that's going to wrap it up for all of us here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight. But, we, of course, we can't end the show until we get everybody's final thoughts. So we're going to go around the room and get the final thoughts. Of course, I'm going to say to you guys, as I do every week, thank you so much for tuning in and getting through this episode of Orange Lounge Radio, which was full of wine and tangents. And
I didn't have a lot of wine myself.
Well, I sure did. But I want to thank you guys, of course, for tuning in and listening and supporting the show. You know, as we ask here at Orange Lounge Radio every week, if you enjoyed the show, just tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air. So please tell the friend about the show. You can also leave a 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play Podcasts. Those reviews help a lot, let me tell you. So podcasts really value that stuff. I think that's all I can think of. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought. I'll start tonight. My final thought is, I didn't mention during my gaming week that I was still playing Pokemon Red. Or no, I'm sorry. Pokemon Yellow.
Girl.
And I'm going to play some more Pokemon Yellow, I think. Because I'm going to get those Pokemon in the Pokemon Bank for hopefully Gen 8. So I can play Gen 8 with Gen 1 Pokemon, because that's me. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
If I am not super exhausted after work, I plan on streaming. So it's I think my channel is DarkSakura_OLR. So
I think you're right.
So just hang out or something and subscribe, please.
Awesome.
Because I said so.
And last but certainly not least, Loki, your final thought tonight.
I should probably stream something someday. I have so many things that I could stream.
Why don't you point a camera at your cabinet?
Because I don't really have a camera that I can point at the cabinet.
Do you have my old USB?
No, I have an old Sony Handycam that does HD, but... like, I don't know about getting that to, like, actual video. And who would want to watch me play? It's the lighting's not good, because I only have one light, one fluorescent light in there. And no one wants to see me out of shape trying to play, you know, standard difficulty songs. No one wants to watch that.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat, I'm hearing excuses. Yeah, me too.
No, I meant, like, a non, like, DDR, you know, like, I could play, like...
You could stream yourself programming a game.
That's also not real fun to watch right now, but yes, I could do that. Like, if I was actually talented, I could do that, yes.
You are talented. Not Everybody's to talented in their own way. All right. That's going to do it for another night here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Appreciate it. And we will see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Sound good? Awesome. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.